Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes.
I've been moving tractors and moving cows since 3:30 this morning.
Just out now from the National Hurricane Center, a hurricane watch for most of the state of Texas, the coast of Texas.
I'm August Skamenka in Galveston, Texas.
It's the same thing. I mean, we clear out the backyard, all the potted plants. All of that. It's getting boring.
Some residents here say they're sick of hurricane season. Lida Ann Thomas is mayor of this city, which sits between Houston and the coast.
There's a terrible concern. And when I say terrible, it's because it falls on me at this point to ask our people, our citizens, to leave their homes and get off the island.
On the fringe of Ike's projected path, so far she's just calling for a voluntary evacuation.
Hurricane Ike could be Category 4 when he goes ashore and could be Category 1 to 2 when as far inland as San Antonio and Austin. A federal investigation alleges roughly one-third of an office in Denver and the Interior Department was on the take one way or another from the oil industry.
The government employees who oversee offshore oil drilling are literally and figuratively in bed with big oil.
That's Florida Democrat Senator Bill Nelson.
The report is pretty shocking, describing not only corruption, but an Interior Department office that sounds more like Animal House. The Inspector General says the former head of the Denver office that collects royalties from oil companies used drugs and had sex with subordinates, fixed contracts, and took money from the oil companies. And a dozen others, he says, took free trips and gifts from the oil companies and had sex with their employees.
CBS's Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill. Campaign trail for the White House, Republican John McCain in Fairfax, Virginia.
Senator Obama has never taken on his party on a single issue. We've taken on the old bulls.
Obama was in Norfolk countering the GOP claims that the double entendre in his lipstick on a pig comment wasn't lost on his audience and was unkind and dirty politics.
We have an economy that is creating hardship for families all across America. We've got two wars going on, and this is what they want to talk about.
Iraqi President Jalal Talabani declares success in his country.
Now I can say all parts of Iraq liberated from terrorist control and activities.
He met with President Bush today at the White House. Defense Secretary Robert Gates says he hopes whoever leads the next administration, they'll take a cautious and flexible approach to Iraq. Forbes has named NFL teams, ranked them, just in case you might want to go buy one.
The top team is the Dallas Cowboys, worth $1.6 billion. The bottom team is the Minnesota Vikings, worth $839 million. The average NFL team is worth exactly $1 billion.
Editor Michael Ozanian on Wall Street, the Dow up 38, NASDAQ gained 19. This is CBS News.
You're a small business person, so you're the buyer, the seller, the bean counter, the chief cook, and the bottle washer. You know your best new business comes from your current customers. But what's the best way to reach them? ConstantContact.com, the easy, effective email marketing service. Constant Contact gives you professional online newsletters fast, without any technical skills. Plus, there's a free 60-day trial and plans as low as $15 a month. ConstantContact.com, the smart way to build your business.
Don't let the stress of heavy credit card debt ruin your life. Take action. Call Fresh Start America. They are proven debt negotiators that work for you to get credit card companies to eliminate up to 60% of your credit card debt.
Fresh Start negotiated with my creditors and cut my debt in half.
Individual results may vary. Not available in all states.
Call now for your free consultation.
800-695-0261.
800-695-0261.
That's 800-695-0261.
The government opens a window on automotive safety if you want to take a look.
For some years now, car makers have reported to the government information on warranty claims, accidents, lawsuits, and so on related to car safety. Now consumers can go online and see much of that.
What the public is getting is a glimpse at the information our investigators use in determining in part whether or not a safety defect exists in a particular vehicle.
Highway Traffic Safety Spokesman Ray Tyson says you can access this and other useful information about your present or future vehicles at this website.
Safercar.gov.
John Harchie, CBS News, Washington.
You count yourself very fortunate to find a pearl in the oyster you have for lunch. Raymond Sala and his wife were having oysters for lunch in Tyre, the southern port city in Lebanon. Inside one oyster, a cluster of 26 pearls of varying sizes. Very rare, of course. It'll be on display, they say, at the restaurant which they own. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
In is for needing to get off on the right foot at the number one race in the chase for the Sprint Cup. But a nation of NASCAR fans would argue that N is naturally for NASCAR. Nevertheless, running nice in New Hampshire is a necessity. There's no negating that. No way, no chance, no how. So, with only 9 races left after this, N is for whoever nets out numero uno at the big end.
The chase for the NASCAR Sprint Cup is on ABC. Coverage begins Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern at New Hampshire.
The world calls us small business owners, but really,
there's nothing small about us. We have big ideas.
We see huge potential. We have
larger than life expectations, which is why we
and millions of other business owners use Visa Business.
Because we do business with a great big world and no other card.
No other card.
No other card is more accepted by it.
Visa Business, used for big ideas. Visit visa.com/smallbusiness.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to a fresh edition of the Peter B. Collins Show, beaming your way from sunny San Francisco today. Lots to talk about, great people to talk with, and you're invited to join the conversation at any moment when the urge strikes you. 888-5-PETER-B, that's my toll-free number, and that's comprised of 38573 and an 8372. In a moment, former California Governor Gray Davis will join us to talk about the prospect of a recall for his successor. Later this hour, we'll meet Mark Kornblau. He's from the Alliance for Abundant Food and Energy. He said we can have an abundance of food and ethanol-based fuel. And as you may know, there is a maverick who ran for president this year. And his name is not John McCain. His name is Mike Gravel, former senator from Alaska. And together with journalist Joe Lauria, he's written a book about his history. It's called A Political Odyssey, The Rise of American Militarism and One Man's Fight to Stop It. Also on today's show, we'll open up the phones to hear from you in the free speed zone and talk about the lipstick smears. And we're going to meet Allison Weir from a group called If Americans Knew. We're going to talk about the occupation of Gaza and the West Bank. But it's hard to believe it was just a few short years ago, 1 year after Gray Davis won re-election as governor of California, that a recall petition was qualified. It led to a contentious election with more than 130 candidates. And Arnold Schwarzenegger ended up at the top of the heap.
Who can take California? Set it on its ear. Stop it in its tracks and take it out of gear. The girly man.
The girly man.
The girly man can.
The girly man can.
The girly man can. Cause he messes with my mind and makes my world a pain in the. You know what? Who can take a budget?
Who can take a budget?
Put it all askew.
Put it all askew.
Bow to special interests and a lobbyist or two.
The girly man.
The girly man.
The girly man can.
Well, our girly man governor is having a tough time. The state is now in the longest protracted budget battle in its history, even longer than the battle that led to the recall of Gray Davis. And the former governor joins us by phone this afternoon. Gray Davis, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Good to be with you, Peter.
Nice to see talk with you again, and it was great to see you in Denver at the convention.
Yeah, that was a good convention, and it was really a thrill to be there.
Yeah. So we're in a deja vu cycle here. The budget is deadlocked. The governor cannot get the Republican votes he needs, two in the Senate, five or six in the Assembly, to get a budget passed. And now the Prison Guards Union, the CCPOA, California Correctional Prison Officers Association, they've started the process here. They have a petition that just went to the governor notifying him that they intend to circulate petitions for the voters to approve a recall of this governor. And what does this seem like to you, Gray Davis? Is it surreal or is it payback time? How do you characterize this?
Well, I've seen this movie before, and I didn't give it a very good review the first time. To be serious, Peter, I didn't think a recall made sense when people had policy disagreements with me in 2003, and I don't think it makes sense in 2008 against Arnold Schwarzenegger. I mean, only 15 states have a recall provision, and only three of them, California being one, don't require you to present the reasons for recall and have that approved by a third body, the courts or some impartial third body. So you can essentially just have a rerun of an election, a second bite at the apple.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what looks like shaping up this time. But let me tell you the arguments against a recall. I mean, you should recall someone if he's committed a crime or some heinous act or has hand in the cookie jar. But just because Arnold wants to raise the sales tax, just because you don't like that, you don't recall the guy. It's too disruptive. It's too expensive. And every time recall qualifies, meaning someone goes out and pays for the signatures, it changes everything in Sacramento, trust me. The moment a recall qualifies, people start looking at the governor differently because they realize he may or may not be there much longer. Now, I don't think this will qualify, and even if it does, I think the governor will beat it. But trust me, it distracts him from the job you pay him to do, which in tough times is to make tough decisions.
Gray, I fundamentally agree with you. I opposed the recall in your case because you were only into the first year of your second term. You
right.
had won re-election just a year before. And, yes, you were unpopular because you were dealing with the fallout from the energy blackouts and the cost of that to the state of California.
Which we now know was a put-up deal by Enron.
Yes, we do.
Been documentaries and books written by Fortune magazine writers. The whole the very first time Enron shut down a plant in Las Vegas that served 600,000 people in the Bay Area was around the 18th and 19th of January in 2001.
Mm-hmm.
And it was 8 days after all of us had gone back to the White House to have a meeting with Ken Lay and Secretary of the Treasury and the Secretary of Energy there, and all the utilities in California were there. I brought two Republicans and two Democrats from the legislature, and all five of us said, look, we're not going to raise rates. You, the energy providers, you're making a fortune, and because utilities are getting squeezed, you want the customers to pay for it. Why don't you just lower your rates? I mean,
mm-hmm.
don't punish the customers of California. You know, we now know that 8 days later, Enron ordered a plant to go down. So that whole energy thing, which did, I think it was in the back of people's minds on the recall, that whole thing was a setup.
Yeah, and also the what's called the car tax, the vehicle license fee, you know, it was a matter of prudence on your part. And I give you credit, Gray, because when we had a surplus in California, you took the opportunity and you were looking at, over your shoulder at what had happened in Virginia, where they had a big controversy over a vehicle license tax there. And you decided to try to preempt a political weapon that might be used against you. And so you prudently set it up so that we reduced the car tax in California, but that if you hit budget problems, that it would kind of automatically start to reset. And you were blamed for the automatic structure there.
Right.
That was one of the first things that Schwarzenegger did when he took office, is he, with quite a flourish, repealed that cartel.
Yeah, actually, the plan that you just described was written into law shortly before I was elected, but it became law the day I took office, and I had to fund it. And what we did was find money to reduce the car tax, first by about 40% and then later by about 60%. So the car tax for four straight years was substantially below what people were paying, but there was an automatic reset. If times were tough, it would reset to the amount it was the day I took office. Anyway, we thought people would understand that. They didn't.
Yeah.
But the point is, in tough times, and you know where that money goes? That money supports
local
law
government.
Enforcement at the local level. And I was not going to stiff the firefighters and the sheriffs and police officers that do a good job for us. So sometimes you have to make hard decisions. I thought it was not right to be recalled for making a tough decision, nor do I think we should recall Arnold because he wants to raise the sales tax. Even if you think he's wrong, you elect the guy to do the best job he can. If you don't, well, he's not going to run again anyway, but if he was going to run for a third term, if he could legally do that, you could just vote someone else in.
Now, Gray Davis, how does it feel for you to see the Prison Guards Union trying to drive this new recall attempt against the Republican governor? You had an uneasy relationship with them, and you know, they're very powerful. They raise a lot of political cash, and then they threaten candidates with it. They say, we'll either use it for you or against you. And in your what turned out to be your final year, you signed a sweetheart deal for the CCPOA, huge raises. You know, $72,000 a year now is the average salary for a prison guard. And as you see them now level their sights at the governor and challenging him with a potential recall, do you regret the deal you made with the CCPOA?
No, I did what I thought was right. And, you know, I took a lot of heat for that. But, in fact, those raises were substantially below what the press predicted because they were based on the average salaries paid by the sheriff's department and police departments in, 15 key cities, L.A., San Diego, Bay Area. And as it turned out, those raises averaged something on the order of 5% a year. Not the, you know, astounding figures the press was throwing out. But in any event, I thought was right because that is a very tough job. If you've been in our prisons, there are a lot of bad actors there. They go out of their way to throw all kinds of material in the faces of guards and goad them and prod them. So it's a very tough job. Having said that, any group that goes to Sacramento that the governor has to preside over pay increase, you know, is capable of acting poorly or acting well, and I'm not picking on them. There's a whole bunch of other groups that use similar tactics, and you just have to realize you're an adult, do the best you can in a difficult situation, and you move on.
Well, and I'm a pro-labor guy, but I draw the line when the CCPOA weighed in and dumped money into the three strikes law and other things that were public policy that would benefit their members by preserving or expanding the job base for guards. But that
said,
you
know, all former governors supported Governor Schwarzenegger in opposing that Jerry Brown, myself, Pete Wilson, as you mentioned, because it's one thing if you wanted to make a change prospectively, but that change would have been made retroactively to people who had been sent to prison. And so, I mean, the guards may have had their own reasons for putting in the money, but trust me, there were a lot of people, kind of elder statesmen of the Republican Democratic Party, that agreed with Governor Schwarzenegger that that was not a good thing to happen, and fortunately the voters agreed with us.
Well, and I, you know, respectfully disagree, and Arnold Schwarzenegger demagogued the issue by going on television with false statements that it would cause 26,000 dangerous felons to be released when that was not nearly what was written into the initiative.
Well, there was some dispute. The DAs, that was a number that the district attorneys came up with because they would have to recompute the sentences. But the bottom line is it would have affected people who were already in prison, as opposed to saying, okay, now if you commit a crime in the future,
understood,
here are the rules.
Yeah.
And I would have been fine with that. I mean, I might have voted against it, but I certainly wouldn't have gone out and campaigned against that.
Mm-hmm.
But when you want to go back and, you know, change the rules of the road after crime has been committed, which is three strikes, usually one of those is frequently one of those is a capital offense, even if you plead guilty to it. I'm just not for renegotiating it after the fact.
I understand your position. Ryan has a question calling from Pacific Grove, and it's right on topic. Go ahead, Ryan. You're on the air with Governor Gray Davis.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hi.
How are you, Ryan?
Good, thanks. I was just wondering if you guys might know of anybody who's working to change the law so that it would be more difficult to qualify a recall, like maybe to where the person would have to actually be guilty of some crime.
Yeah, you should go to HiramJohnson.com.
Hiram Johnson was a great reformer in the early part of the 20th century, and he gave us the initiative, he gave us the referendum, and I think there was one other reform. In any event, there are a lot of ways to do it. As I say, 35 states don't have a recall. I think a recall is a valuable tool for the voters, but I do think, I can tell you the person who wrote the 500 words you're supposed to submit, which is supposedly the basis for qualifying it, and presumably has been done in Governor Schwarzenegger's case. I mean, he was working for my opponent,
right,
Simon, in 2002, and
yeah,
he's actually become a friend of mine. He's a good fellow, and he thinks those 500 words, which he claims was written at a Hootie and the Blowfish concert, was undid me. I said, don't trust me, man. It wasn't those 500 words. It's when Arnold got in the race.
Yeah.
But in any event, I do think we ought to say, okay, look, some third-party body has to look at this and make sure this is just not campaign charges that were the same as the last election, and we should just let the election stand.
Yeah.
That's what the other 12 states who have a recall has, and I think that would be a reform that would serve California's interests.
And I agree with that. Ryan, thank you for a great question. Governor, thank you for your time today, and I agree with you. I think that a recall of Governor Schwarzenegger is ill-advised, but they didn't listen to me last time, and I don't know if they'll listen to me this time. We'll have to see where this goes. Thank you, Greg.
You know, trust me, if that thing qualifies, it changes everything in Sacramento, and I don't think that's right. I mean, these are very tough times. The governor who came and campaigned on solving our fiscal problems and not raising taxes, you know, has said, I don't think this can be done without raising taxes, so he deserves credit for taking a stand.
Mm-hmm.
It must have been hard for him to reach, whether you agree with it or not, and I don't think that should be the basis for his being recalled.
Gray Davis, thank you very much. We'll talk again.
Good, Peter. Take
all
care.
Right. Got a comment? Bring it on now. Toll free 888-5 Peter B. We'll take a break and return on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, this is Stephanie Miller. You're listening to the station that encourages you to think for yourself. What a concept. AM 540 KRXA.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor authentic Chinese dishes like congee and juk at Jim's Restaurant, 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares.
Hello, I'm Solazar.
Hi, I'm Carolani.
Good Vibrations Radio is moving from Sundays to Saturdays on September 13th.
From 7 to 9 p.m.
You'll have more Everyday Alchemy.
Change your vibrations and change your life.
Good Vibrations, Saturday from 7 to 9 p.m.
on AM 540 KRXA.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Are you up for some recall ping pong? You just heard the guy who was recalled to make way for Governor Schwarzenegger, and now the prison guards trying to qualify a ballot measure to recall, a special recall election for Governor Schwarzenegger. And keep in mind what it produced. This bizarre campaign with a stripper and Gary Coleman and Arianna Huffington and Peter Cameo and many lesser lights running for governor.
Let me finish.
You know, this is completely impolite.
This is the way you treat women. We know that, but not now.
I would just like to say that I just realized that I have a perfect part for you in Terminator 4. That's it.
Well, that was Arnold and Ariana in that exchange where he was referring to, putting her head down a toilet. That was really, really nice, wasn't it? Jennifer's on the line from Eureka listening to KGOE. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, how are you, Peter?
I'm doing okay. What's your thought about this recall idea?
Now, I rarely disagree with you, Peter, because I think you're great. But I really think he needs to go. I'm talking about not only this current crisis, but past performance or lack thereof. What has he done? And it's the same Republican over and over garbage.
Well, we have had three versions of Arnold. The first one did nothing. The second one lost at the ballot. And the third one raised the minimum wage, passed the global warming legislation, and moved very much to the left for a Republican. Now,
yes,
he's mired in a struggle with his own party right now. And as Davis pointed out, if we start a recall, Sacramento goes on lockdown. And if you think they're doing nothing now, put a recall on the table and it'll just be completely frozen.
I agree. I don't think groups should strong arm governors, but they shouldn't have recalled Davis in the first place.
Right.
And I agree that, it became a mockery, which bothers me because I grew up in California. I'm a third generation Californian. I love my state. But Arnold had turned Democrat to get elected, then turned back around. He was supposed to investigate
Yeah, he said he wouldn't take money from special interests, and it's now $128 million. I agree. He's imperfect, but I just don't want to see us go into this cycle of recall, elect, recall, elect. I'd really like the voters to decide this at the next election. And we'll talk about this more on the Free Speech Zone. Thanks for your call, Jennifer. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood Files, sponsored in part by Franklin Templeton Investments, providing a unique perspective to investors for over 50 years. Franklin Templeton Investments, gained from their perspective. I'm Charles Osgood. This morning near Geneva, the European Organization for Nuclear Research fired up the world's largest particle collider, the Large Hadron Collider. Fired a beam of protons around the 17-mile tunnel. Countdown was in several languages.
2, 1, face off. Way! 3, 2, 1, 0. Nothing. Yes, sir!
The reason they were so pleased with nothing, after this.
My bed is a sleep number bed.
My bed is a sleep number bed, too.
It is the same bed.
But we can adjust our side to make it feel like our own.
I wish my living room felt like my own.
See, that's funny. I know the deerhead bothers you. But whose exercise bike is in my workshop?
Well, who builds his birdhouses in my exercise room?
That would be me, but that doesn't change that we're a married couple.
Yes, we are.
And we compromise when we have to.
Yes, we do, but never in bed.
No, we don't.
Over 5 million people have found their own personalized comfort in a Sleep Number bed. Just lie back and set your sleep number anywhere from 0 to 100. Higher for a firmer feel, lower for softer support. Sleep Number by Select Comfort. It's the bed that counts.
I love my sleep number bed. You mean mine?
Yes.
Come into a Sleep Number store today for your free mini travel pillow while supplies last. See store for details. For one of our over 450 stores near you, call 1-800-SLEEP-NUMBER or visit sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number by Select Comfort. It's the bed that counts.
Why are the physicists doing what they're doing with the Large Hadron Collider? Spokesman James Gillies.
We are recreating now conditions that we believe would have existed very soon after the Big Bang, particles that would have been hanging around in the universe since the Big Bang so that we can measure them and understand them.
It's what they plan to do in a month or so that has some people worried.
If you could imagine scaling up the particles to the size of a needle, it would be like firing needles across the Atlantic and getting them to collide halfway. So, you know, it's quite a precise job, to say the least. And we expect it to be about a month between the first beam and the first collisions.
Among the worried is nuclear physicist Walter Wagner.
By colliding lead nuclei into each other at very high speed, we will create conditions that do not exist in nature and will create a new kind of atom called a strange atom that will engage in a runaway fusion process and convert the Earth into a supernova.
Wagner is founder of Citizens Against the Large Hadron Collider.
They're trying to create this with the theory that these things evaporate. And they might evaporate, but we don't have any proof of that. And if they don't evaporate, they would start growing larger and larger to eventually, many years from now, consume the Earth and convert it into a black hole.
Not to worry, says Gillies.
We can quite safely rule out any possibility of catastrophe.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Ginger.
And I'm Jay. And we would like to personally invite you to experience why Monterey County food critics are raving about our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise.
Could it be our fantastic one-of-a-kind specialty pizzas or huge calzones, such as the Jamaican Me Crazy, the White Sands Beach, the Veggin' Out, or the Wild Mushroom Dream?
Or could it be because we also offer delicious salads, sandwiches, rice plates, and irresistible homemade desserts by Ginger?
Recently recognized as Local's Favorite, Best for Families, Most Creative, Big Screen and Big Eat, and will return to spend our own money.
So come relax in our tropical surf-themed restaurant and top off your meal with an ice-cold draft beer from Kona Brewing Company, Fresh Brewed Hawaiian Coffee, or Lappert's Hawaiian Ice Cream.
That's A Pizza Paradise, located in the Marina Village Center at 215 Reservation Road in Marina, or call 582-9149 or see us on the web at apizzaparadise.net.
That's A Pizza Paradise.
582-9149.
That's
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Minutes into the hour on the Peter B. Collins Show. My toll-free number is 888-5 Peter B. You can use it whenever you like. And some people can't call, don't have the time to call, or just don't want to. You can email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. These days, the cost of food and fuel is rising. $4 for a loaf of bread, $4 for a gallon of milk, $4 for a gallon of gas. And the oil companies are fooling with us a little. Around here, I did a fill up the other day for $3.85, and that's down from a peak of about $4.50 that I paid just about 6 weeks ago. But many families are being confronted with the awful choice. Do I fill up the car, or do I go to the grocery store? And at the, you know, big level, the meta level, this is a fundamental choice that we're confronting. Do we use biofuels like corn-based or sugar-based ethanol to run our cars? Or do we use those crops to feed critters and humans and keep the food chain going? Mark Kornblau joins us now from the Alliance for Abundant Food and Energy, and corn's in his name. Hello, Mark.
How are you doing?
You ever been to the Corn Palace in Mitchell, South Dakota?
I cannot say that I've been there.
Well, you should go sometime. And Corn Radio is in Mitchell, K-O-R-N.
Maybe some of my ancestors can be found there, too.
Mark, what's your background? How did you get involved in the energy arena?
I actually come from a political and government background. I worked in Democratic politics for over a decade for some folks from the Midwest you may have heard of, Senator Evan Bayh from Indiana. I was his communications director for a while. Debbie Stabenow, mm-hmm. worked on John Kerry's campaign. And I come to this issue caring a lot about energy and our energy security. But the more importantly, the alliance that I'm working for, the Alliance for Abundant Food and Energy, is for pretty big companies that you've probably heard of, John Deere, ADM, Monsanto, and DuPont, who came together because, as you said, there's this food versus fuel debate being set up in the media and in Washington. And together they know, these four companies, a few things about what agriculture is capable of. And we think that agriculture offers some real solutions to this false debate, mm-hmm. So that we can actually, through innovation, meet the growing global demand for both food and energy.
Mm-hmm. Your website is foodandenergy.org, and I invite people to go there and get more information. Our time is limited, and I just found out that you are scheduled to do another interview in about 4 minutes. So let me get right to the crux of it here, Mark, and that is, you know, as I look at this, Archer Daniels Midland, Monsanto, and John Deere and DuPont, these are hardly neutral players. These are the very entities that have benefited from the subsidies for corn-based ethanol, and this has produced some fluctuations, anomalies in the marketplace, where we have had to choose between diverting corn into renewable fuels or using it as feedstock, or even in some cases, and most of this is not suitable for the dinner table, but it certainly has an impact on the cost of food at the grocery store. So why should we look to these interested, what John McCain would call a special interest now that he's running against them, why should we look to these as a group that's promoting abundance of both food and energy?
Sure. Well, let me say two things about that. First off, you know, the four companies together have a pretty unique perspective because they represent the entire agricultural value chain from planted seed all the way to market sale and everything in between. And so, yes, they're big companies, and yes, they stand to make a lot of profits, but they also know a thing or two about agricultural innovation, what agriculture is capable of, and the solutions that can be found to both our food challenges and our energy challenges through agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first thing. And then the second thing I would say is about this debate that's going on about food and fuel, you know, in addition to it being a false debate, we think it's premised on a very pessimistic and frankly, un-American view of the world, which is we have a limited, finite amount of resources, and we have to divvy it up. But actually, our history shows us that exactly the opposite is true. Through innovation in America alone, we have grown now over the last 25 years, over 56% more corn per acre than we used to. And we're producing 56% more corn. We're doing it on 9% more land. We're not using more land at the same rate. If we were to take modern farming practices that we use here in the United States and share them with other parts of the developing world where farmers are still 100 years behind us, we could see productivity gains in places like sub-Saharan Africa of over 400%, South Asia over 300%, Brazil over 100%. So there's an incredible amount of room to grow sustainably using the same land we're using now, but producing a lot more, so there's more to go around for food and for energy.
Now, Mark, scientists I've talked to say that sugar is a much more efficient renewable source for energy, liquid energy, than corn is. Do you favor a reordering of our subsidies so that sugar could compete with corn as an ethanol source?
We think, first of all, first-generation biofuels like corn and like sugar have been an important addition to our fuel supply. They diversified it and enabled us to move away from our strict dependence on foreign oil to other fuel types. We think the most promising biofuels are in the second generation, what people call cellulosic biofuels, that next generation, which is now being developed and which is not very far off from market, thanks to the developments and the investments and the incentives in the first generation. So here in the U.S., it's our responsibility to continue to support that first generation because the next generation stands on its shoulders. Do we think that folks in Brazil should be using sugarcane-based ethanol because they have it available locally instead of burning fossil fuels? Absolutely.
But in the United States, don't you believe we should be developing sugar as a source along with switchgrass and corn?
Yeah, we should be developing any type of clean alternative energy that moves us away from our dependence on foreign oil. So wind, absolutely, solar, absolutely, anything agriculture-based that is clean and sustainable, we're for it.
Well, Mark, I've exceeded our time here. I want to thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Now we know about the organization called the Alliance for Abundant Food and Energy. Good to talk with you.
You too. Thank you.
Right. Bye-bye. Very interesting. Very interesting. Now, I want you to know that it was only moments before we went on the air that they informed us that we only had a few minutes to talk to Mark Kornblau. And just as we were in the break, I pulled up the website at foodandenergy.org. And to their credit, they're not hiding this. It's disclosed the number one FAQ, frequently asked question, is who's involved with the Alliance for Abundant Food and Energy. And they disclose that it includes Archer Daniels Midland, DuPont, John Deere, Monsanto, and the Renewable Fuels Association. I don't know quite who comprises the association. But this is one of those groups that springs up in Washington that has a happy talk name, Alliance for Abundant Food and Energy, and they have a positive message. They're basically trying to tell us that we shouldn't succumb to false choices. But their self-interest, their special interest status, is something that I think you really need to understand. Monsanto is the company that has bought up the seed stocks for agricultural crops across the world. And part of their strategy is, if you remember, Monsanto was a chemical company, a pesticide company. And in the lab, they've created genetically modified organisms, including the Roundup Ready seed. And the Roundup Ready seed allows you to plant a row of corn or soybeans or alfalfa, whatever it is. And the plants themselves are resistant to the Roundup pesticide. And what that means is you can go through there, and if you've ever used Roundup, it is a very nasty pesticide. It kills almost everything. And so with one happy application of Roundup, you can clear a field of all the weeds and pests and other things that you don't want growing there. But as Percy Schmeiser has told us vividly on this program, and maybe you've seen him in the documentaries that have been made about his case up in Canada, Monsanto is very aggressive. Percy Schmeiser runs a farm, and Monsanto detectives or field reps, I don't know exactly who they were, discovered that some Roundup Ready crop had blown over the fence and across the road into Percy Schmeiser's farmland. Monsanto sued him and initially won in the courts of Canada. It wasn't until lengthy appeals overturned that case that Percy Schmeiser was declared the victor. But Monsanto has been very heavy-handed in its treatment of farmers as it muscularly takes control of the seed marketplace in order to create a better market for its Roundup pesticide. Now, that's just one example of the extreme self-interest exhibited by one of the members of this Alliance for Abundant Food and Energy. And so I have to say that while I am interested in the message they offer, this is a front group for some of the most exploitive companies in America today. Archer Daniels Midland is this huge conglomerate based in the farmlands of the Midwest. And they have used friendly senators from farm states, including many Democrats, including Tom Daschle, the former Senate Majority Leader, to grease the skids for huge subsidies for the corn-based ethanol that they have been developing and bringing to market over the last 15 years. Now, I'm a realist, and I understand that the scale required to develop ethanol, to do the research and development, to bring it to market, is significant. But I would much rather see our government paying for the research and allowing every farmer in America to use it, and not just offering tax breaks and other subsidies to ADM and a couple of other big ones. I think Cargill is one that benefits from these ethanol subsidies. And so I have to say that it appears we were snookered in here a little bit. I took a look at the press release from the Alliance for Abundant Food and Energy, and I said, okay, that sounds like something good to talk about. And as we got deeper into this, I see that this is just perhaps a hair above the Competitive Enterprise Institute, that front group that is paid by the oil companies to deny the realities of climate change in this country. So that's what we know about the Alliance for Abundant Food and Energy based on, well, what we've learned today. We're going to take a break here and return. I got one caller on the line. You can join us, too. There's room for you in the rest of this hour. 888-5-PETER-B is my toll-free number. That's 888-573-8372. I don't think that's the one I wanted. Let's try this. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. More straight ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540. Visit our website at KRXA540.com.
Sometimes things just make sense.
Sure, like buying a scooter when gas prices go crazy.
Or putting Sharp business equipment in your office.
How does that make sense?
It makes sense to have the number one digital copier in America working for you, right?
Sure.
Well, that's how it makes sense.
I get it, but...
Here, try this.
Since 1981, this family-owned business has been about one thing, results, which is why Tri-County Business Systems is a Sharp dealer. Sharp is technology-driven, featuring OSA, open systems architecture. You can customize applications that promote efficient workflow. And because they're built to last, your total cost of ownership is reduced used for long-term results. If you're a QuickBooks user, Sharp's OSA system allows you to quickly scan directly into your client's folder right from the machine. So call Tri-County Business Systems at 758-1474 and learn more today. Tri-County Business Systems, 758-1474. Solutions that connect with you. Tri-County Business Systems.
My name is R.J. Moyer, President of Family Heritage Management Services. I am a retirement specialist, and I protect my clients' money, and I can guarantee an income for life. We don't recommend stocks, mutual funds, or variable annuities. These are risky securities. With securities, you have unlimited upside, but you also have unlimited downside. Our clients do not lose money in negative markets. Do you have a multi-generational IRA? Why not? It's been your right since 2001. Don't let Uncle Sam be your biggest beneficiary because your banker or broker is sleeping at the wheel. Call us right now at 831-794-8485 to receive your free brochure. We will then set up your free IRA and retirement checkup in our Salinas location. Call 831-794-8485. It's a new market, and it's time for a change. Call 831-794-8485. If you transfer your IRA, 401k, or any of your retirement accounts today, we will add 10% to your full account value. $100,000 becomes $110,000, $400,000 becomes $440,000, $700,000 becomes $770,000. It's a new market. It's time for a change. Call 831-794-8485.
You're listening to the greatest talk radio station on the planet, west of the Mississippi, along the Pacific Coast, in California, below Davenport, above Lucia, and west of the Gavilan Mountains. KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
For more on the P2B show. This hour, the Peter B. Collins Show, sponsored by the Organic Wine Company. Log on to ecowine.com/Peter B and check out the free shipping offer. Taking your calls right now, 888-5 Peter B. Tim from Seaside, listening on KRXA. Welcome, Tim.
Hey, thanks, Peter. You know, the guy was saying that there's more corn growing now on less land than what it would have been in the past.
Right.
But one of the things he's not mentioning is, you know, what type of corn. You know, there's several varieties of corn, and some grow easier than others.
Well, and I didn't have time to ask him, but I would have asked if some of these were Frankenfoods. Are these genetically modified corn varieties?
Right, and like my wife and I, we own a kettle corn concession, and the popcorn and the corn oil that we use to make that has doubled in price in the, you know, since last summer.
Mm-hmm. Now, what is the price of corn that you produce for feed, and how has that been impacted by the demand for corn for ethanol production?
Excuse me?
I'm trying to understand how much the demand for ethanol has jacked up the cost of a bushel of corn, the price that farmers are paid for it.
And, you know, I don't know the details behind it, but I know that, you know, the product that we buy ourselves, like I talked to my supplier and he's mentioning, you know, because he talks to the actual companies that produce the corn that we buy,
mm-hmm.
and they've cut back their growth of that particular type of corn so that they can grow more corn for the ethanol because it's cheaper to grow. It grows more plentiful.
Yeah, yeah. And that, therefore, is that part of the component that's costing me $5 for my favorite cereal and $4 for a loaf of bread?
I think it may be part of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
then what's your overall take here, Tim? Do you think that their central point is correct, even if it is coming from corporate special interests, that we can have renewable resources for energy and plentiful and cheap food supplies, too?
I don't know. I don't personally think so. I think, you know, if we start dipping into what we use for our food, for our energy, yeah, I mean, there's, you know, one's going to take from the other. I think we should be looking for our renewable energy sources from locations other than food.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Tim, thanks for checking in today.
Okay.
Great to have you listening. And now let's go to Eureka. MJ is on the line listening to KGOE. Hi, MJ.
Hi.
What's on your mind?
Well, I'm kind of agreeing with the call you just had that renewable resources for energy is important to find, but the solution might not be food and might not be the way that this abundant food and energy happy-sounding company is trying to sell us.
Well, it's not a company. It's one of these off-the-shelf groups in Washington that has a very happy-sounding name.
Right.
But from everything I can tell, it's a front for these corporate interests. And I don't think that's evil in itself, and I don't think that they are attempting to mislead us. But they are attempting to promote a message into the media that does benefit these narrow groups of special interest parties. And so I'm not comfortable with that. But to me, the bigger issue is that we're not having an honest debate about the best ways to produce these biofuels. And again, I've talked to scientists. I'm not one. Don't claim to be. Don't even play one on the radio. But they tell me that sugar, for example, is a much more efficient source to convert a crop into fuel. But
yes,
we have a sugar lobby in this country that is extremely powerful. And one of the stories I love to tell, and you've just given me the opportunity, is that during the Bill Clinton impeachment proceedings, Monica Lewinsky was testifying and was basically being challenged to prove that she was in the Oval Office and under the desk servicing the president on a certain day and time. And she was able to confirm that by saying, well, you know, in the middle of our episode, the president took a call from one of the Fonyul brothers in Florida. And they own huge sugarcane interests and a piece of the Bacardi rum operation. And they write big checks to Republicans and big checks to Democrats. And they have incredible influence in Washington. And despite WTO and NAFTA and all these trade deals that ship our jobs overseas, we have been able to maintain the subsidies and protections for sugar produced in the United States. And if we were to lift those, we would see an access to the biofuels market for a much more efficient product. But as long as we're propping up the price of sugar to protect these powerful political interests, we will not be able to move forward on a balanced program to produce biofuels in the most efficient way.
I totally agree. And I was saying, yeah, you're right. It's the companies behind this coalition. There's two points that were written in his comment that I wanted to bring back from a science standpoint. He mentioned the first thing, that if we increase the agricultural technology available for other countries, we would be able to increase the food production by 400% across the world. And that concerns me terribly from the water usage and the chemical load that it would take to achieve that, and the increase in the carbon footprint that that would generate, as, once again, the aftermath of trying to use some of, for example, Monsanto's products to close the gap. So is it really that the alternative that we have? The other thing that was...
And let me just comment. You're correct, MJ, and I've cut back on how much meat I eat, but I confess I'm a carnivore, and I do know that raising feed for cattle and other meat critters is very inefficient, uses up huge amounts of water, and in terms of addressing climate change and feeding everyone on the planet, if we moved away from meat products, we'd all be much better off.
Right, so now we're trying to apply the same mentality to raising an alternative for the SUVs.
That's right. You can grow it in your backyard and drill it yourself. Isn't that beautiful?
Thank Absolutely. You. Just give me 10 pounds of Roundup.
Thanks, MJ. Tars in Arcata, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. I've just got 30 seconds here, Tars. Go ahead.
It's going to take longer than that, but quickly, when I hear people talking about the ethanol situation, my back starts getting up because of the fact that the one source of producing energy, and I'm more for electric cars than I am for anything else, is one subject's not talked about, is the geothermal.
Mm-hmm.
We're on the east side of the Pacific Ring of Fires, as we call it, and there are one or two stations which have a closed circuit geothermal plant, which are totally clean,
mm-hmm.
and the source of energy is constant.
I'm glad you mentioned it, Tar. Sorry I'm out of time this hour, and I appreciate your call to the Peter B. Collins Show. Produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. And Ms. Rill is on duty today taking your calls. More coming up after the top of the hour break.
Bonjour, this is Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy two bottles, you get one bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine, you can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I've made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/Peter B. That's ecowine.com/Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Scandal at the Interior Department.
It sounds like an out-of-control frat party, but it's a government office that's supposed to watch the oil companies. I'm Bob Fuss in Washington.
Hurricane Ike could be a monster.
We're expecting Category 3 or even a Category 4.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. The Department of the Interior doesn't often generate headlines, but its own investigator concludes some officials were flagrantly derelict in their duty.
The incredible report from the Inspector General charges more than a dozen Interior Department workers responsible for collecting royalties from oil companies drilling on public land, took gifts and trips and part-time employment from those companies, got drunk with their employees, shared illegal drugs, and had sex with them. Florida Senator Bill Nelson.
The government employees who oversee offshore oil drilling are literally and figuratively in bed with big oil.
The report alleges a culture of substance abuse, promiscuity, and corruption in the critical Interior Department office. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Washington.
An independent report supports the notion that speculators drove up oil prices.
I'm Dan Revive in Washington. Members of Congress who want to legislate curbs on oil market speculation cite a new study by Michael Masters, head of a capital management firm. He calculates that in the first half of this year, $60 billion was invested or gambled on oil futures.
These are giant numbers, both on the run up and also on the run back down.
Masters says speculators headed for the exit doors, selling in mid-July, calling them the primary source of the damaging volatility in oil prices.
Today, the price of crude oil fell below $103 a barrel. The White House says energy prices are still very high, and it disagrees with OPEC's decision to cut production by 500,000 barrels a day. Now this.
The best stuff is always in the back. Like when you go into a store and you want the best, you ask the clerk what he's got in the back, right? So when it comes to getting what's best for your Buick, Pontiac, or GMC, head to your participating dealer and drive around back to their Good Wrench service lane. Right now, it's Good Wrench and Go Time, where you can get an oil change, tire rotation, and a Good Wrench multi-point vehicle inspection all in one package. With fuel prices the way they are, taking proper care of your vehicle can help you spend less time pumping and more time driving. Good Wrench and Go. We're keeping it simple. Offer ends November 30th.
Imagine this. You walk into your apartment and, oh boy, you've been robbed. Yep, somebody definitely broke in there and made off with the goods, didn't they? Your flat screen TV, your laptop, and even your race car shaped bed's gone. Just a devastating loss. The good news is, if you call Geico, you could be protected for as little as $12 a month. Yeah, seriously, just $12. So first, call Geico, and second, maybe think about buying a grown-up bed, yeah?
For a fast, easy rate quote on renter's insurance, visit geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO.
Hurricane Ike is a Category 2 storm now with top winds of 100 miles per hour, and Felix Garcia at the National Weather Service says it could reach Category 4.
People will have to be relocated wherever this is heading to. The winds are strong enough to move cars and take roofs apart.
The hurricane watch is posted for much of the Texas coast, and evacuations are gearing up. This man in Angleton doesn't know what to expect.
We are still monitoring where the path's going to go. I mean, it's a big animal out there.
At the White House,
this morning, the president issued an emergency declaration for Texas to supplement state and local response efforts in response to Hurricane Ike.
And spokeswoman Dana Perino says the United States will provide $10 million in disaster aid to the desperate people of Haiti. UN peacekeepers struggle to control an angry crowd demanding food and water. Haiti's been hit by three hurricanes this month, Gustav, Hanna, and Ike. It was the most memorable line of Sarah Palin's convention speech.
I love those hockey moms. You know, they say the difference between a hockey mom and a pit bull? Lipstick.
A joke. It got a big laugh. But this week, when Barack Obama accused John McCain of repackaging President Bush's policies and said it was like putting lipstick on a pig, the McCain campaign squealed like a stuck pig, accusing Obama of insulting Palin. Obama, campaigning in Norfolk, Virginia today, fired back.
They seize on an innocent remark, try to take it out of context, throw up an outrageous ad because they know that it's catnip for the news media.
He called it the latest made-up controversy by the John McCain campaign.
I don't care what they say about me, but I love this country too much to let them take over another election with lies and phony outrage and swift boat politics. Enough is enough.
McCain used lipstick on a pig to describe Hillary Clinton's health care plan. The McCain-Palin roadshow will go on. A senior McCain advisor tells CBS News they're seriously considering more joint appearances than originally planned. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
You're a small business person, so you're the buyer, the seller, the bean counter, the chief cook, and the bottle washer. You know your best new business comes from your current customers. But what's the best way to reach them? ConstantContact.com, the easy, effective email marketing service. Constant Contact gives you professional online newsletters fast without any technical skills. Plus, there's a free 60-day trial and plans as low as $15 a month. ConstantContact.com, the smart way to build your business.
Don't let the stress of heavy credit card debt ruin your life. Take action. Call Fresh Start America. They are proven debt negotiators that work for you to get credit card companies to eliminate up to 60% of your credit card debt.
Fresh Start negotiated with my creditors and cut my debt in half.
Individual results may vary. Not available in all states.
Call now for your free consultation.
800-695-0261.
800-695-0261.
That's 800-695-0261.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm glad you're listening. People listen all up and down the left coast, inland to Montana, Washington, D.C., around the world, in Costa Rica, Japan, and Australia. And if you found us, may I ask you to become vice president of marketing in your area? Email 10 friends tonight and tell them how they can connect with the Peter B. Collins Show on AM radio or on that podcast thingy on the internet. The link is on my homepage at peterbcollins.com.
Thank you.
so, the word maverick has been used and abused by the Republicans trying to promote John McCain and his new running mate from Alaska, Sarah Palin. And in my view, there was a maverick who ran for president this time. And his name is Mike Gravel. He served two terms as senator from Alaska. He tried to stop the war in Vietnam. He exposed the Pentagon Papers. And when he ran for office this time around, I played kind of a minor role in helping him get started. He was the first to announce his candidacy for president back in 2006, and he was not invited to the Take Back America conference. So I took it upon myself to invite Mike Gravel to come to the Take Back America conference, and we have a mutual friend. My friend Catherine Hand was Mike Gravel's chief of staff when he was in the Senate. She went on to work for Norman Lear and now is raising her kids in Washington, D.C. And Catherine put me in touch with Senator Gravel, and that's why I invited him to the Take Back America conference. And there was a little bit of a shudder that went through the organizers. They looked at me and said, how did he get here? And I said, well, he's running for president. And I invited him because I think he's got something to say. And it went from there. Mike Gravel, I think, made a major contribution, along with Dennis Kucinich, to moving the debate onto the important issues. Senator Gravel joins us again today on the program. He's got a new book out called A Political Odyssey, The Rise of American Militarism and One Man's Fight to Stop It. Mike, thanks for talking with us today.
Well, Peter B., it's a pleasure to be on your program, and I enjoyed the little vignette of history of how I got to Take Back America. But, of course, we never had America. We lost it in 1787.
Well, and just to add to the story, in 2007, they invited you to speak at Take Back America, and you had your friend Ralph Nader introduce you.
That's right, and that was the last time they introduced me. That's the last time they invited me, and they probably won't invite me again. You know, I think I disturb people in some of the views that I hold, unfortunately.
Well, but I think that's a good thing, Mike, and occasionally you've disturbed me. We don't see eye to eye on every last issue. When you talked about using a national sales tax to pay for health care, I just don't support that. But on the big issues of really trying to get our country on a track consistent with the Constitution and to empower real people to make the decisions to get beyond the mess that we've created of representative democracy, on those fundamental issues, I think we've got a lot of common ground.
Totally, totally, Peter B. And you understand that on that tax issue that we disagree, you have a full opportunity to negate my vote, because that's not an issue that would pass in the Congress. I would see that issue go before the American people, and then I would have one vote, and you would have one vote, and we'd let the people decide that.
Well, Mike, one of the things that intrigued me when you and I first started talking was your advocacy for a national initiative process. What's the state of that right now? Were you able to move that along through your presidential campaign?
Yes, not obviously as much as I would have wanted, because unfortunately I was cut out of the debates in September of 07. But I brought more attention to the national initiative in the day that I filed than I had done in 15 years prior to that. So it, but it's still a work in progress, and it's the reason why I ran. I don't want to be president. But I think the most important thing of all is to empower the people so that they can make all the decisions that they choose to make on the issues that affect their lives.
Mike Gravel, I've got to take a moment here to ask you to draw on your background in Alaska, your connection to Alaska politics, and tell us, where the hell did Sarah Palin come from?
Well, she came from Wasilla, and boy, don't discount her. Now, you and I are horrified over many of the ideologies that she holds, but I'll tell you, there are few politicians that I've seen in my career that have the natural talent and the abilities that she has. Few, very few.
Well, I mean, I have to take your word for it, Senator, because so far she delivered a script that somebody else wrote at the Republican National Convention, and it was really just a list of, you know, rubber chicken dinner applause lines.
But has the Democrats delivered any different?
Yeah, I mean, I think Obama's speech in Denver was not just a litany of attacks on the Republicans. He did offer, you know, some criticism and some contrast, but it wasn't just a series of one-liners to put John McCain down because, you know, he can't lift his arms above his shoulders.
Well, no, they keep telling us that John McCain is nothing but the continuation of George Bush. That's all they put. And I think the Democrats are missing the target. What they came out of, and Democrats have got to start focusing on it, what they came out of this convention is saying that they're going to put party above, they're going to put people above the party. Well, Democrats aren't saying that. Democrats are missing the target. Here, McCain was making a speech to the Republican convention telling them they were all wrong for the last 8 years and they were fools, and they were applauding him. They were applauding him. Isn't this a phenomenon?
Well, but it isn't true. First of all, here's McCain surrounded by all these lobbyists, and he's running against Washington. He's running against the lobbyists. So as a concoction, it may have some appeal, but it's not grounded in anything real.
Well, but tell me about all the lobbyists at the Democratic Convention. The Democrats are raising more money than Republicans. McCain is taking public money for the general election. Obama is raising hundreds of millions of dollars from who? The special interest. So please, Peter, please, let's try to be a little objective.
No, I'm not.
I know that. But here, I'm not going to vote for McCain. I don't even know who I'm going to vote for. Well, the Democrats are a war party, just like the Republicans. What have you got? You've got the continuum. We're trying, the American imperialists are trying to gin up an arms race with Russia and China. What's that all about?
Well, I have grave concerns about the way both Obama and McCain have responded to the Georgia-Russia dust-up. And I also have...
Sir, Peter, you should be horrified. This was an attack by Saakashvili instituted by the Americans. And I'll tell you, when he loses office in Georgia, he's going to go to the Hague to be tried as a war criminal. And that's our ally.
I thought they had a seat for him at the American Enterprise Institute.
Well, he'll be indicted. He'll be indicted. You can't unleash overnight rockets and kill 2,000 people and think that you're going to get away with that.
Well, Mike, the other area where I'm very concerned with Barack Obama is the way he has talked rather blithely about putting more troops into Afghanistan, a nation that's never successfully been occupied, and he hasn't defined a mission. He hasn't given us an exit strategy. He just kind of plays on the idea that Americans think, well, that was the okay war and Iraq was the not okay war, so it's okay to put more troops into Afghanistan. And I say, wait a minute.
Peter, doesn't that tell you something? That when all these generals march across the stage and here's our man, this is militarism at its worst. You're quite right. There is no mission in Afghanistan. There is no exit strategy. But let me tell you what the United States of America is on record with legislation passed by the Congress in 1999, and that's what this is all about. And it's the Silk Road strategy. This is in law in 1999 that declares that the vital interests of the United States go straight across the southern, underneath of Russia, across the Eurasian continent from China to Europe. That is the extension of the Monroe Doctrine that we have in the Western Hemisphere, and it's all the way across Asia. That's our vital interest, and that's the reason why we have a toehold in Afghanistan, and it is going to be our debacle, just like it was for the Russians and just like Vietnam was for us. And we're going to stick our toes in there ever so slightly and get deeper and deeper and deeper. There is a no-win situation. We have to get out. And when they talk about, oh, we want to get Osama bin Laden, he's living in some cave. All we've done is enlarge his reputation so that we could create fear in this country and so we could create the budgets for Homeland Security and the military. He's not a threat to us. Never has been. Here, a bunch of guys with box cutters appropriating some aircraft, and then they brag that there's not been another attack since then. Do they have a capability for another attack? Of course not. They're still living in caves. But he can put up some stuff on YouTube and tell the crazies of the world, hey, use whenever you do something. Some terrorist act. Make sure you leave the calling card of Al Qaeda, so everybody will be afraid.
We're going to take a break and return with Mike Gravel. His new book is A Political Odyssey: The Rise of American Militarism and One Man's Fight to Stop It. And in the next segment, we'll talk with him and his co-author Joe Lauria. And I want to get their thoughts comparing the Cold War fearmongering with today's fearmongering. That's next here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Serve Aero Engineering Incorporated in Salinas reminds everyone, when taking to the roads, drive carefully and watch out for our children. They're not always aware of danger. If you're near a park, playground, or residential area and see a child or group of children, please reduce your speed. Your awareness is our hope, and a child's safety depends on it. This message is courtesy of Serve Aero Engineering Incorporated in Salinas. Proud to help make a difference. Wishing kids a great, productive school year.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli, with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way in the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
There's more than one side to contemporary affairs. In fact, there's usually more than two sides. On Thursday nights at 10, listen in on KRXA 540, and you'll hear at least four. You'll hear the perspectives of Mark Leonard, Tony Rudy, Billy Sunshine, and me, Jack Hart. We have guests bring their own expertise and experience to their analysis of current events. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for a different perspective. And on September 4th, our show will expand to 2 hours, and we'll start at 9 in the evening and go through to 11. Join us here on KRXA 540.
Well, good afternoon. Checking traffic on KRXA. We'll start you off Monterey County Reservation Road at Blanco Road. Watch out for a fire extinguisher rolling around the lanes. Some police activity as well as an accident. Soledad, South 101 before Front Street. A vehicle overturned, landed on its side in the center divide. We do have reports of minor injuries there. The other vehicle involved in this accident fled the scene, so they went off to city streets, and police activity taking care of that as well. A couple of people in custody. Salinas Meridian Road at 156. Watch out for a big blue box reported in the lanes. And also 101 both directions between Spence Road and Airport Boulevard in Salinas. Some lanes shut down for installation of a new median barrier that will cause delays. And this is brought to you by Carfax Vehicle History Reports. Do you know what happens to flood-damaged cars when they're pulled from the water? Many are dried out, cleaned up, and resold. Ask your dealer for a free Carfax Vehicle History Report or go to Carfax.com. If you spot a traffic problem, call us up, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show with Senator Mike Gravel.
I was walking over the highway. I saw above me an endless skyway. I saw below me a golden valley. Yeah, this land was made for me. I roamed and rambled and followed my footsteps.
That's the Everclear Electric version of Woody Guthrie's This Land Is Your Land. Mike Gravel, former senator from Alaska, published a new book called A Political Odyssey, The Rise of American Militarism and One Man's Fight to Stop It. And his co-author joins us, too, from the Caribbean nation of Belize today. It's Joe Lauria. Hi, Joe.
How you doing, Peter? Thanks for having me on again.
Well, it's good to talk with you again. And just to connect the dots, you were on with us a couple of weeks back as we were updating people on the case of Sibel Edmonds. And I appreciate your work on that.
Thank you.
And Senator Gravel, just...
bunch of stuff.
Say again?
His work is excellent on a bunch of stuff.
Absolutely. Senator, just a quick comment. What do you know about Sibel Edmonds' case, and what do you think ought to be done about it?
Well, first off, I defer to Joe on that subject. He's a lot more. I've met Sibel, and I've talked with her, and, of course, Dan Ellsberg has been much involved. The tragedy is she's like most whistleblowers. They have the courage to step forward, and what they see are their lives ruined. And we're supposed to have laws to protect these whistleblowers, but the law operates almost in the exact opposite of what it's supposed to do. And so what should be done? I can't begin to tell you. All we can do is give you some, and Joe's better knowledgeable, much more knowledgeable at that than I am,
all right,
specifics of the case. But that doesn't begin until you get a new administration that has some sense of justice, that wants to clean up within the bowels of the administration. And I don't know if you'll get an improvement, obviously, if you get the Democrats elected. But will you see a fundamental change? I question that.
Well, I think it's a good question. Joe, go ahead.
I think I'd like to pick up on what you said before the break about the Cold War,
mm-hmm,
and its parallel with the so-called War on Terror. This is a big part of the book. We think we show here in this book that the origin of the Cold War in the late 1940s was completely trumped up and was completely false. And in fact, Harry Truman in his memoirs in 1956 said as much, said it was a tragedy of our time that people believed that we were imminently going to be taken over by communists. The first three CIA estimates ever issued, national intelligence estimates, we hear a lot about them these days, the first three ever issued in 1947 and 1948, all said that the Soviet Union was no threat to the United States or Europe, especially within the United States borders. Why did this happen? And this is what we trace throughout the entire history of this book, which is both Mike's life and the history of American militarism. And both stories beginning in Springfield, where Mike was born and where George Washington put the first armaments industry there. Throughout American history, after every war, there was a demobilization. For example, after the Civil War, we had a defense budget of $1 billion that 4 years later became 57 million, and a million men were disarmed down to 57,000, and companies went out of business that made armaments or made bicycles and or typewriters. But that changed after the Second Second World War, and we believe it's because the Depression was ended by the military buildup, and at the end of the Second World War, there was a fear there would be a new depression. In fact, the economy did start to tank, and the aviation industry and other related industries to the military effort, the war effort, started to decline. And there was a conscious effort to build up a war scare, and this was the creation of this phony Soviet threat. And now we see many of the same actors then throughout the Cold War participating in the phony war against terrorism.
Well, and I'm still waiting for my trickle-down share of the peace dividend from the Cold War.
Well, exactly. What happened to that? What happened to that was they couldn't give it up. Clinton tried to shrink the size of the industry and fewer players, and that happened. But by the end of his eight-year term, the defense spending went up, even with Clinton, and he got involved in a Star Wars-type project as well. And I think if you've read the book, you see that the anti-ballistic missile is really the cash cow. We see it over and over again coming up, Mike, in his big clash with Henry Jackson over that one that Nixon wanted to build, and now we see it again in Eastern Europe.
Yeah. We need to take a break, and we'll pick up there as we continue. Joe Lauria is with us, co-author with Mike Gravel of the new book, A Political Odyssey, The Rise of American Militarism, One Man's Fight to Stop It. You can join us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Lipstick on a Pig. This is Dave Ross on CBS Radio Network. Barack Obama was giving one of his speeches about John McCain.
John McCain says he's about change, too.
But John McCain, he said, is too much like George Bush to claim the change label.
That's not change. That's just calling the same thing something different. You know, you can put lipstick on a pig. It's still a pig.
Uh-oh. And overnight, a 30-second ad appeared comparing his quote to this quote.
You know, they say the difference between a hockey mom and a pit bull? Lipstick.
He had used the L word to compare Sarah Palin to a pig, even though he actually didn't. But it's all over YouTube, and so no woman can vote for Barack Obama. Because what kind of sleazy sexist would use the L word to call a woman a pig? What kind of unreconstructed anti-feminist...
There's many things that concern me about it. It's eerily reminiscent of what they tried back in 1993. I think they put some lipstick on the pig, but it's still a pig.
Whoa, wait a second. That sounds like John McCain. That can't be. That can't be. What was the context of that?
I noticed in your speech you avoided any comparison of your plan to Hillary Clinton's plan.
He had been asked about Hillary Clinton's health care plan.
I think they put some lipstick on the pig, but it's still a pig.
Oh, great. Now no woman can vote for John McCain either. 50% of the population has to sit this one out. Oh, wait, I'm being told there's another lipstick quote involving a vice president.
You can put all the lipstick you want on a pig, but at the end of the day, it's still a pig.
Oh, well, that pig's probably been shot by now. Now this.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, and hackers invade your business every day through email, instant messaging, web browsing, and your company's website. With no software to install and no per-user license fees, Barracuda Network firewalls are easy to set up and affordable. Do what 50,000 other companies have done. Reclaim your network with a Barracuda Network firewall. For a free evaluation unit, call Barracuda Networks, 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or go online to barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross of the CBS Radio Network.
The patient's not responding to the treatment.
I know. That imaginary jingle telling him to go where again?
Coffeetopia.
I've seen this condition before. It is very contagious.
What happened?
Nothing really. Everyone had a cup of coffee and a bagel. Speaking of which, let's go have a cup.
Where should we go?
Coffee, coffee, coffeetopia.
What was that?
And so it begins again.
For the best coffee, tea, or smoothies in the Monterey Bay Area, visit Coffeetopia. With three locations in Santa Cruz, 3701 Portola Drive near Pleasure Point, 1723 Mission Street on the west side, and the newest Coffeetopia at 1443 Capitola Road in the Live Oak area. Coffeetopia is also the oldest internet cafe in Santa Cruz, with wireless and by-the-minute computer stations. Other places use ice as fillers for their smoothies, but not Coffeetopia. They use all fruit and juices when making their delicious smoothies, and they also feature tropical, high-energy, acai smoothies, bagels, and fresh baked goods.
Coffee, coffee, Coffeetopia.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
One specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Senator Mike Gravel and his co-author Joe Lauria with us. The new book is called A Political Odyssey, The Rise of American Militarism and One Man's Fight to Stop It. Springsteen belting out the question that was also asked in the Vietnam era, who will be the last to die for a mistake? And Mike Gravel was one of the people who put his own career on the line to help disclose the Pentagon Papers. And Mike, in your book, I was fascinated by your narrative about what occurred at that time. Nixon tried to block the publication of the Pentagon Papers, seeking a court order against the New York Times. It went to the Supreme Court, and they ruled against Nixon. But you were operating in that gray zone as you used your prerogative as a United States senator to enter the Pentagon Papers into the record by means of the filibuster process and the after-hours special orders. Take us back there and take a couple of minutes here to describe what you were going through and just how you felt and how paranoid it might have made you about what Nixon was going to do to you.
Well, first off, I was scared stiff. I didn't know that I wouldn't be put in jail and prosecuted. I thought that just maybe the speech and debate clause of the Constitution would protect me. But I was scared, just that simple. But the issue was very clear. The Pentagon Papers was nothing more than a history of the mistake that was made by and the lies that were perpetrated by three successive presidential administrations.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is something that people had to know about. Now, with respect to the Nixon administration's court, the Supreme Court ruled that the Nixon administration could not put on a prior restraint, and that the newspapers could publish, but they could publish at risk. And so after the court ruling, the papers in question, who had been courageous in publishing, they that did not pursue publication. They did not want to continue being at risk. And so when I tried to get them and any other publication house in the United States to print the entirety of the Pentagon Papers, not one would stand up. And as it turned out, the only publication house that would do it was Beacon Press, the same corporate entity as the Unitarian Universalist Association. And they had received an anonymous grant to print and publish the Pentagon Papers. And they were harassed by the FBI and the federal government all the way to the end, and a year after it happened. And the whole case went before the Supreme Court. And the court ruled, and this is what's interesting, the court ruled 5-4, that a member of the Congress, senator or House member, could release secret information, top secret information, and could not be held accountable in any other locale for that act as long as it was within the domain of the Congress.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what that says is that any member of the Congress could do that or could have done that since. Not one has done it. Everybody plays I've got a secret. Now, the other four members, the minority of the Supreme Court, essentially were ruling that you could release secret information as a member of Congress outside of the domain of the Congress. So it's very clear that the speech and debate clause of the Constitution really empowers an elected official to do what's right and recognize that the people's knowledge in a democracy is paramount above all else.
Then let me ask you,
are they going to know what is going on with their government?
Let me ask you to apply that to a contemporary situation. I would like to have seen, say, Jay Rockefeller or Nancy Pelosi or Jane Harmon use that speech and debate clause prerogative to read into the record the details of the domestic spying program, what was called warrantless wiretapping, until the Congress legalized the lawbreaking of the Bush administration. Do you believe that there was an opportunity in the past few years to see disclosure of some of those secrets to benefit the American people?
Peter B., there's opportunities every day the Congress is in session, but there's one worse than that. Senator Durbin from Illinois fessed up that he, sitting on the Intelligence Committee, was hearing one story from the intelligence community that was at variance with the story that Bush, the White House, was putting out to the American people about what the threat of Saddam Hussein when weapons of mass destruction was all about. And he did not reveal anything about the difference because he was afraid somebody might die, meaning some agent might be compromised. Well, the tragedy is, by his keeping silent over the difference in the cooking of the intelligence by the White House, somebody did die. More than 4,000 Americans and probably a million Iraqis. That's who died, by an elected official not having the guts to stand up and say, this doesn't make any sense. And this is something that goes on daily in the Congress. And it's all tied to the fact that they buy into wholesale American imperialism, because to oppose this supposedly questions their manhood or their patriotism. And so we continue to spend our treasure on a fool's errand when our needs at home go untended.
Mike Gravel with us. Co-author Joe Lauria is here, too. And, Joe, as you looked back at the Pentagon Papers era, I imagine your respect for Dan Ellsberg could only grow. But tell me a little bit about what you found there that was either new to you or added dimensions that my listeners might appreciate.
Well, I think Mike just talked about the Durbin incident. I wanted to add that Durbin got up and made a speech sometime after the war started going bad and said that if he only were allowed to speak about what he'd heard in camera in the Intelligence Committee, he would have been able to maybe stop this war. And, of course, he could have stopped it. He could have made that speech using Mike Gravel's case as a model, and that's what I learned, Mike Gravel's case. I didn't realize that senators can do that. I didn't realize the power Congress has. I didn't know as much about the Constitution as I do now, having researched and worked on this book, because it's Congress that was given more power than the executive branch. But after the Second World War, with the enormous, unprecedented wealth and power the U.S. had in a devastated world, they had a choice. Do we use that power and wealth to help progress around the world, or just increase our own wealth and power? I think we've seen the result over the last decades, and the executive branch has grown incredibly with new branches, Homeland Security, whatsoever. It has got complete control, and militarism has choked off. You know, remember the expression, guns are butter, Peter? We used to hear it all the time.
Sure.
In the 60s. Have you heard it? When's the last time you heard that? That question is more crucial now than ever. And I don't think Obama really even has the guts to make that speech because he's afraid he's going to alienate voters. But that is what we're faced with. Now, Hermann Göring, the head of the Luftwaffe, said, guns make us powerful, butter makes us fat. And you have LBJ tried to do both. I think that's what Obama's trying to do here, have guns and butter. And he hurt the economy, LBJ, and we got Nixon. You can't do both. Not on the scale we've got. We can cut our defense spending in half, and we still have more than Russia and China, who only want economic development right now. This is the real crucial question of the book, and Mike's role in it, in the historical context that we created for the book, was his fight against militarism in the, particularly in the Pentagon Papers case, as you mentioned.
Yeah. And Mike Gravel, tell me your estimation of Dan Ellsberg. And he went public, gosh, about a year and a half ago, calling on people to do what he did, to violate their oaths of secrecy, to disclose secret information. And this administration is even more secretive than the Kennedy and Johnson administrations were in covering up the misdeeds of Vietnam.
Oh, yes, there's no question about it. And I have great, great respect for Dan Ellsberg. He's a courageous, courageous American. Patriot. And that is the word. You see, when you see your country, when people talk about my country right or wrong, well, that's an obscenity. I'm for my country when it's doing the right thing. When it's doing the wrong thing, I'm going to fight that wrong because I want my country to be great morally. And that's where Ellsberg came in. And he tried to give the papers to other senators because he was smart enough to recognize if he could get a senator to release the papers that he would have some kind of legal cover. And this is, of course, before the whistleblower laws, and which don't give any cover, so to speak, now.
Mm-hmm.
But and he couldn't do it. McGovern wouldn't touch it. Pete McCloskey wouldn't do it. Fulbright wouldn't do it. And so he had to turn to the newspapers who did it until they got stopped by the Justice Department. Then after the Supreme Court ruled, then they stopped. And so what happened, I was a freshman and I was filibustering the end of the draft. And he discovered me because of the filibuster and called and said, would you read the papers? Of course I said it would.
Well, it was a little more interesting than that. You said yes, and we should conclude this conversation right now.
Well, Peter, you're right, because when I was 23 and 24 years old, I was a top secret control officer as an adjutant for the Communications Intelligence Service. So I have an intelligence background. And so when somebody called me and said, when the whole world's looking for the Pentagon Papers, and somebody calls and said, would you use the Pentagon Papers in your filibuster? I said, yes, I would. Now let's hang up. Because I didn't know whether he was being wiretapped, tailed, or what have you. And so we played charade for a couple of days, and I eventually got my hands on the papers. And that's a whole interesting story all by itself.
Well, and just one detail, Joe Lowry, I wanted to ask about, because in reading the book, A Political Odyssey, it's the first time I learned that Ben Bagdikian, who was a Washington Post editor and who later became head of the journalism school at UC Berkeley and a great critic of the American media, he was actually the point man who handed off the docs to Mike Gravel.
That's absolutely right. As you know, Dan Ellsberg wrote the foreword to our book, and I've been involved with Dan on the Sibel Edmonds case, too, and I've gotten to know him, and he is a great, great man, no question about it. Bagdikian was an assistant managing editor at the Washington Post at the time, and Ellsberg was in hotels and motels in Cambridge hiding out from the FBI, and he said that he'd give the books to the Pentagon Papers to the Washington Post. He'd already given it to the New York Times if he gave it to Senator Gravel, and Bagdikian didn't want to do that at first. He didn't feel a journalist should be involved in that kind of transfer, but he gave in, and he flew up to Cambridge. He had two seats. He booked two seats, one seat for the boxes that had to be tied together with a rope taken off of the fence at the motel where Ellsberg was underground from the dogs had been tied up with. That's how he tied up the books, put them on a seat. Somebody he knew came by on the plane and said, what do you got there? The Pentagon Papers. And that's a great, great story. Bagdikian did eventually, after a while, gave them to Mike in front of the Mayflower Hotel. They drove up there in front of the hotel just a few blocks from where Nixon was sleeping in the White House that midnight. The books were transferred from Bagdikian's trunk to Mike's, and then they went and had a drink and talked about it like nothing happened, and that was the beginning. And Mike brought them home and slept on them that night.
Yeah.
Maybe the most top-secret history document ever Mike slept on it that night. Now, it's a terrific stories in there of Mike and Frank Sinatra, Mike and Scoop Jackson, and, you know, Scoop Jackson's big aides were Wolfowitz and Pearl at the time when Mike was fighting with him over that ABM, and what did they go on to do? So that's another direct link between the phony Cold War and the phony War on Terror, which, as Mike probably has talked to you about, should be a police action and not a military one.
Joe, we're about to go to a break, and I'm going to let you go because I'm getting a lot of echo off your line.
Okay.
There, a Trans-Caribbean or whatever
I
it happens
see,
to be.
I'm not on vacation, by the way. I'm down here on another story for the Sunday Times, but that was nice to speak to you. Thank you.
Great to have you on the program, and we'll talk again. Stay in touch, Joe.
Very good. Bye-bye.
That's Joe Lauria. He is the co-author with Senator Mike Gravel of A Political Odyssey, The Rise of American Militarism and One Man's Fight to Stop It. We'll take a break and wrap up the hour with Mike Gravel in just a minute. If you have a question or comment, now's a good time to call at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, The Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Taking a look at KRXA traffic, we'll start things off Monterey County. Just a heads up, Reservation Road to Blanco Road, a fire extinguisher rolling around the lanes. Some problems for 101 Soledad, actually both of them in Soledad. South 101 before Front Street, vehicle overturned and landed on its side in the center divide. We had reports of minor injuries. CHP is on the scene, tow trucks as well, so that should be in the final clearing stages. Also, South 101 at Camphora, Gloria Road, two vehicles cleared into the center divide. They had the two left-hand lanes blocked at one point. CHP is on the scene. Look for heavy traffic as you approach the scene. And in Prunedale, Meridian Road at 156, a blue box, a big flattened cardboard blue box in the lanes. This is brought to you by Carfax Vehicle History Reports. Do you know that a flood-damaged car is like a ticking time bomb? Nearly half of these flooded cars get fixed up and resold. Ask your dealer for a free Carfax Vehicle History Report or go to Carfax.com. If you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale with 2 hours of talk radio all about our daily challenges, our fears, changes, crisis, addictions. Over 1,700 of them, can you believe it? Using the 12 steps, the law of attraction, whatever it takes. Join me Saturday afternoons 3 to 5 with my guests and we'll find solutions together. The Sheila Show, Saturday 3 to 5 on KRXA, brought to you by Benji's Princess Monterey Whale Watching Trips. Open daily on Old Fisherman's Wharf, Monterey.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Global warming is here. The effects may seem slight now,
but in a few decades, they could be massive.
Heat waves, floods, and food shortages. What can we do?
We can join together.
Because when many, unite as one.
We can achieve anything.
Together, we're powerful. Find out how we can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. Go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Give me a C. Give me another C. And ask him not to find me. We played the sanitized version.
What is in your mind? Not the present or the past. It can happen anywhere, anytime. Bring back the 60s, man.
My Mike Gravel's with us, co-author of this new book, A Political Odyssey, The Rise of American Militarism. And I've got an extra copy here. If you call into the program in the next 10 minutes and ask a question, I might give it to you. 888-5-PETER-B is my toll-free number, 888-573-8372. And, Mike, the song is Bring Back the 60s, but I'd like you to bring back the 50s for a moment and tell us about your cross-country trek that first took you to Alaska in a station wagon with two dames, and just how much of a lady killer were you?
You're right. God, I forgot that. So I met, when I was in Europe, I took my discharge in Europe, and I came back on the Flanders and met a wonderful lady from Australia, and her brother was the ambassador from Australia. And so she went to Washington, and then I went to Columbia and spent 2 years going to Columbia, and I tried to keep in touch with her, not very much, because I was a poor student working my way through. But when I told her I was going to go to Alaska to drive my brother's car up there, and a station wagon, and she says, well, she's going to go back to Australia, and so I said, well, hey, you can join me, we'll drive across country together. Well, here I had round eyeballs on that one, and lo and behold, she said, oh, well, she'd consider it. Well, her brother, the ambassador, talked her into saying, why don't you be smart, you don't really know this guy, Gravel, why don't you fix it and bring a girlfriend with you, and she can fly back, and you go on to Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Well, obviously, since I said it was okay for her to come, lo and behold, she now calls me up and says, well, I've got a girlfriend that wants to come, too.
Mm-hmm.
What was I going to do at that point?
I don't know, but in the book, you disclose that you at least got to second base, Mike.
Well, I did, but I think we all had regrets that it wasn't a couple and not a threesome.
So you got to Alaska before statehood, and you immediately had your sights set on being one of the first senators elected from Alaska.
Correct. Well, second senators, because there was no way I could beat Gruening or Bartlett.
Yeah, okay.
But I did run for office as soon as I got there. I ran for the territorial legislature,
mm-hmm,
and lost. Ran for the city council in Anchorage and lost, and then ran for the state legislature and won, and then ran for re-election and was a top vote getter, and parlayed that into becoming speaker, and was very ambitious, and as speaker in 2 years, brought about a lot of accomplishments and a lot of changes under my leadership, and then ran for Congress, and since I was so aggressive in bringing about these changes and stepped over a lot of people from freshman to speaker, I lost the congressional race, but then subsequently won the Senate race and served 2 terms in the Senate.
Yeah, that's quite a story. And there's more rich detail in the book. I recommend it to you. And it looks like Dave in Eureka is going to get a free copy. Hi, Dave. You're on the air. Dave.
Hey.
There you go.
The question, Mike, do you look back and feel that the election yet again has been rigged, or do you believe it was? Are we facing honest elections?
No, we're not. They are rigged, and they're rigged in several ways. Well, of course, the last two elections, presidential elections, they were rigged in Ohio, and they were rigged when Baker went down to Florida, mm-hmm, and stole the election through the Supreme Court. But they're rigged beyond that. You got to keep in mind that politicians raise money from special interests to manipulate the people to voting for them in the course of the election. And they use this money through this manipulative process to tell you what you want to hear, not what you need to know. You see that in this election right now. What you're hearing is the Republicans telling you about the fear of things, we got to be different, we got to have a strong defense. My God, we got a ridiculous defense. We can cut our defense by 60% and have a strong defense. When you have something as ridiculous as we have, you don't have a strong defense. And of course, we need to continue to really have wars, because the people who benefit, the profiteering and the corporations, they need these wars. And so that's now the Democrats come on and they become right. Republicans get very aggressive in this and in instilling fear, and then the Democrats are me too in this American imperialism, and so therefore they always come about with a day late and a dollar short at the presidential level.
Now we're launching missiles from lipstick silos, Mike. It's a real enervating campaign. I just saw in the press materials here that you're also co-author of a new book called Kingmakers, How the Media Threatens Our Security and Our Democracy. Take a minute here to talk about the media and two or three things you'd do to reform it.
Well, the first thing is Jefferson had it right. The media in our society is just as important as representative government itself, because the people must be informed, and so when the government does something and the media fails to inform, we fail as a society, and that's what's happened of late. The American media is controlled by the same forces that control the Congress and the presidency, and that's the military-industrial complex. So you do not hear the truth from American media. It is the echo chamber for the White House and the Congress, and so what the solution to it is the same solution to the Congress. We must empower the people to be able to make laws. Peter, let me quote you from Cicero. This is extremely important.
Just 20 seconds. Go ahead, Mike.
Cicero said that freedom is the participation in power. Americans do not participate in power because they are not able to make laws, because power in democracy is lawmaking.
All right.
We do not participate in power, and that's the shortcoming of our democracy today.
Hey, Mike Gravel, thanks for running for president in the 2008 cycle.
Peter, thank you for having me on. You're really such a gracious host and a good friend.
A Political Odyssey is the book, Mike Gravel and Joe Lauria. This is the Peter B. Collins Show. Hi, it's Peter B., urging you to check out a new website, MendingAmerica.com, dedicated to mending the damage done to our American fabric by 8 years of George W. Bush. It looks like another T-shirt site, and it is, but look deeper. Read the stories represented in the T-shirts. Hear the message of hope that our fabric can be restored, and we can once more take pride in America. Mending America believes the mending must start with the American people. We must reconnect with the values and the courage that founded this country. Join in by clicking the words opening question at the top of the homepage and email your thoughts. Support this effort by buying the T-shirts and bumper stickers. Better yet, buy the note cards and send the word to Congress, the media, and your friends. America is on the mend, and a bright future lies before us. Use the promo code PETERB in lowercase at MendingAmerica.com and get a 15% discount. That's MendingAmerica.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. 13 current or former Interior Department employees are accused of scandalous behavior. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss has details of a report issued today.
The report reads like a steamy soap opera, charging those responsible for collecting royalties from oil companies drilling on public lands were literally in bed with those companies. The Interior Department Inspector General says they took free trips from oil company workers and went way beyond normal socializing, taking drugs and sleeping with them. Florida Senator Bill Nelson was appalled.
That uses sex and drugs and illegal gifts to foster their program.
He says it's a good reason to hold off giving oil companies more public lands to drill on. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Washington.
John McCain, with running mate Sarah Palin at his side, campaigned in Virginia today.
How many of you are tired of the same old business, the same old boy cronyism that exists in Washington, D.C.? You're sick of it. I'm sick of it. We'll bring about change.
Instead of campaigning separately, a senior McCain advisor tells CBS News they're seriously considering more joint appearances by McCain and Palin. Barack Obama accuses the Republicans of using swift vote tactics by claiming he used a sexist comment against Palin. When he talked about putting lipstick on a pig, Obama was talking about McCain's economic policies.
This is a McCain campaign. Would much rather have the story about phony and foolish diversions than about the future.
He said they're trying to take over another election with lies and phony outrage. No time to waste in Brazoria, Texas.
I've been moving tractors and moving cows since 3:30 this morning.
All along the Texas Gulf Coast, they're preparing for Hurricane Ike. Forecasters say it could strengthen to Category 4 with winds over 130 miles per hour. Many, like this woman in Angleton, are heading inland.
I'm getting prepared. I'm going to San Antonio, and hopefully I get out of harm's way.
Ike is centered about 700 miles east of Brownsville, moving slowly to the northwest. New research finds surgery is not always the answer for older people with painful arthritic knees. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports.
A common popular surgical treatment for knee arthritis is no better than taking medicines or physical therapy, Canadian researchers say. This is the second major New England Journal of Medicine study in 6 years to find that arthroscopy is a waste of time and money for most arthritis patients.
The focus should be on other forms of therapy,
says Dr. Brian Fagan of the University of Western Ontario.
Medical therapy for the mild to moderate cases, and then total joint replacement is a very effective form of treatment in patients who have severe disease.
This finding could have widespread healthcare implications. Half of all American adults will develop knee arthritis by age 84. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
The Dow gained 38 points today, closing at 11,268. The price of oil fell below 103 a barrel. This is CBS News.
Prices are up. The cost of running your business is up. Everything's up, except your marketing budget. So what's a small business to do? Email marketing to your current customers with ConstantContact.com. With Constant Contact, you get professional-looking email newsletters that keep your customers coming back. Plus, there's a free 60-day trial with plans as low as $15 a month. So even if the economy's down, your sales don't have to be. Put your marketing on the upswing with ConstantContact.com.
Great moments in summer games history from Tiger Balm.
In 2000, the U.S. 4x100 relay team won the gold in a blistering 37.61 seconds. You, on the other hand, managed to strain your calf muscle in just 0.61 seconds, celebrating a touchdown in your last flag football game. Oh! Nice job.
Tiger Balm is the natural way to conquer pain. A 100-year pain relief formula trusted by people around the world. Tiger Balm works where it hurts. Available everywhere.
How would you like to visit the cuckoo's nest? You can. Reporter Tim Hole has the story from Oregon.
How about it, you creep, you little
Building J at the Old State Hospital in the city of Salem, where One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest starring Jack Nicholson was filmed in 1975, is being torn down. But before it goes, the public is being allowed in for one day.
That's a lot of the curiosity, I think, that people have is, you know, being able to see where some of the actual scenes occurred.
The interest came as quite a surprise for state staffers who didn't even publicize the tour. But as soon as word got out, 200 people signed up, and dozens are on a growing waiting list.
What do you think you are, for Christ's sake? Crazy or something?
Tim Hole for CBS News, Portland, Oregon.
Big city commuters cope with traffic jams and transit breakdowns, but Jim Litz, a middle school teacher in Missoula, Montana, had a different problem as he bicycled to work. He came over a rise and slammed into a black bear in the road. They both suffered some bumps and bruises. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
The best stuff is always in the back. Like when you go into a store and you want the best, you ask the clerk what he's got in the back, right? So when it comes to getting what's best for your Buick, Pontiac, or GMC, head to your participating dealer and drive around back to their Good Wrench service lane. Right now, it's Good Wrench and Go Time, where you can get an oil change, tire rotation, and a Good Wrench multi-point vehicle inspection all in one package. With fuel prices the way they are, taking proper care of your vehicle can help you spend less time pumping and more time driving. Good Wrench and Go. We're keeping it simple. Offer ends November 30th.
Imagine this. You walk into your apartment and, oh boy, you've been robbed. Yep, somebody definitely broke in there and made off with the goods, didn't they? Your flat-screen TV, your laptop, and even your race car-shaped bed's gone. Just a devastating loss. The good news is, if you call GEICO, you could be protected for as little as $12 a month. Yeah, seriously, just $12. So first, call GEICO, and second, maybe think about buying a grown-up bed, yeah?
For a fast, easy rate quote on renter's insurance, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. And be part of Peter B.'s America.
Thank you.
It's the Free Speech Zone on the Peter B. Collins Show. Let's talk about lipstick, pigs, and smears. Now, this discussion is not fair to pigs. Let's establish that at the outset.
Guys dressed in black, remember that, just in case we ever face to face and make contact. The title held by me, M.I.B. He's what you think you saw, you did not see. So don't blame me, what was dead is now going black with the black Ray-Bans on.
All this week, your humble host is guest blogging at airamerica.com, and they asked me for a couple of posts a day. And if you go back to last night, I filed one. Just 25 hours ago, shortly after I had signed off yesterday's program, I got an email from Ari Melber. He's our buddy, works for The Nation, nation.com, and also has, he's on the Obama campaign plane and bus, and he files regularly at the Washington Independence website. That's washingtonindependent.com. So just minutes after the show ended, I got this email from Ari with his latest post, and he had been in Lebanon, Virginia, with the Obama campaign, and he was a witness. Let me read this to you. I was sitting at a press table in the Virginia gym as Obama rattled through two cliches to argue that the McCain-Palin ticket could not deliver change. First, Obama reached for a farm analogy. You can put lipstick on a pig, he said. It's still a pig. Then he said, you can wrap an old fish in a piece of paper called change. It's still gonna stink. And that's all the right-wing machinery, the noise machinery needed. They instantly created a McCain commercial. And, of course, it has the obligatory McCain-Feingold disclosure statement with the candidate on the end saying, I'm John McCain and I approve this slime. And so the McCain commercial falsely and intentionally falsely says that Barack Obama called Sarah Palin a pig and demanded an apology because of this sexism. And in a moment, I'll give you some overnight polling information that shows just how dangerous this kind of campaign tactic is. And how effective it is. But first, here is a clip in a minute and a half that strings together recent uses by political candidates of the concept of lipstick on a pig. Let's listen. First, John McCain on Hillary Clinton's health care proposal.
There's many things that concern me about it. It's vaguely, not vaguely, but eerily reminiscent of what they tried back in 1993. I think they put some lipstick on the pig, but it's still a pig.
The latest proposal I see is putting lipstick on a pig.
May 2008.
Frankly, Madam Speaker, it's very difficult to put lipstick on a pig.
Lipstick on a pig.
No lipstick on that pig.
You know, there's an old saying around here about putting lipstick on a pig.
Tom Tancredo.
On a pig.
Again, you could put the lipstick on the pig.
She can put lipstick on a pig.
And Madam Speaker, the energy bills that were brought out this week was kind of like putting lipstick on a pig.
So why is the media running this McCain ad for free? Here comes the commercial.
But Obama, you know, you can. You know, you can put.
What it does is it uses graphics at the beginning, and it says McCain on Sarah Palin. Wait. Let me take it. It says Obama on Sarah Palin. Let me get it completely accurate. I just backed it up. Barack Obama on : Sarah Palin. That's a still photo and a graphic, and then they jump to this clip from Lebanon, Virginia, yesterday.
But you know, you can't. You know, you can put lipstick on a pig. It's still a pig.
Then the screen shows a picture of Obama with the graphic asking, ready to lead? No. Ready to smear? Yes. Even they know better.
I think this is the press just absolutely.
Now this is what Karl Rove is famous for, what Tom DeLay is famous for. You identify your own most significant weakness and you project it onto your opponent. The McCain campaign is smearing, big time, intentionally, over the top. This was the first opportunity they found to play the sexism card that Hillary Clinton introduced into her campaign against Barack Obama in the spring, and they pounced. It doesn't matter to Steve Schmidt, Rick Davis, and Charlie Black, the people running the McCain campaign, that this is totally false. And as Andrew Sullivan points out in a post, he's a conservative, a gay conservative, that he published today. He thought John McCain was a decent man and that his campaign would reflect that. He's not, and it doesn't.
Playing into McCain campaign's crocodile tears.
I think the McCain campaign is laughing their butts off this morning that any of us have taken the bait on this lipstick thing. I mean, this is a joke.
But I think this is a low point in the day, in one of the low days of our collective coverage of this campaign. To spend even a minute right on this expression, I think, is amazing.
That's Mark Halperin. So there you have it. Lipstick on a pig. A phrase that Barack Obama used, seized upon by the Republican attack machine. And I pity the poor porkers. Now, I get emails on a daily basis from a polling firm based in New Jersey. And let's see what their name is here. HCD Research, a communications research company headquartered in Flemington, New Jersey. And they send me this stuff almost every day, and only occasionally do I share it with you. Let's see what they did here. They tested the commercial from the McCain campaign, where Senator Obama is on screen using the phrase lipstick on a pig, and they link him falsely to Sarah Palin. So when Democrats looked at the commercial, the McCain commercial, prior to it, 7% of Democrats responded affirmatively to the question, do you think Barack Obama has a gender bias? After viewing the slimy McCain commercial, only 2% more Democrats agree with that statement. It moves from 7 to 9%. Among Republicans, 44% before they saw the commercial said they thought Obama has a gender bias. After the commercial, 66%. This is where this is effective. They don't care that this is a smear built on lies. All they care about is that they can manipulate Republican and independent voters. So the Republican percentage of perceiving Barack Obama with a gender bias jumps from 44 to 66%, and among independents it doubles from 17 to 34%. Democrats not influenced by it, only a 2% shift. But the McCain campaign doesn't care about Democratic voters. They want to manipulate Republicans and independents, and this is a sinister and very effective tool that they are using. I want to hear your comments, whether you're wearing lipstick or not. You can call into the program today, toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. First up, it's Harvey in Berkeley. Welcome, Harvey.
Hi, Peter B.
Hi.
And as far as I'm concerned, McCain's chances are Palin.
Oh. Well, puns won't get you very far. Not with Republicans. They're not impressed.
I know.
They'll take a smear built on a lie any day.
Well, they sure are predictable, though, and I think the right-wing media is so predictable. And here's what you're going to see next. This is what you're going to see and hear on the news, and it's going to be the GOP save the OJ trial for the election. So as the election comes up, you're going to see Barack Obama coupled with OJ. So it'll be like OJ said this and that today, and then Barack Obama said this to that.
You know what, Harvey? Today. Harvey, I wish I could tell you that you're totally crazy and you ought to go hug a tree at the University of California campus there in Berkeley. But you know what? It's not that far-fetched.
Yes, and they're going to, you know, every negative stereotype of the African-American, like Kwame Kilpatrick or African American crime.
Jeremiah Wright, he's going to be back. Even if he stays out of the limelight himself, we know that the 527s, the Swift voters on the Republican side, are going to feature Reverend Wright prominently between now and November.
Right. So everybody out there, so when you see that coupling going on, you'll know that you're watching right-wing media. And, well, thanks a lot, Peter B.
All right. Thank you, Harvey. Always appreciate your calls. 888-5-PETER-B. Let me know what you think about the lipstick and the pig and the Republican smear efforts. Now to Jenny in Salinas, listening on KRXA. Hi, Jenny.
Hi, Peter. This is the third time I've ever called you. I'm just addicted to your show.
Well, good. It's a happy problem to have.
So, what I was going to say, and it's concerning because I knew the whole context of the lipstick on a pig, and I understand what you're saying about how other politicians are using it. I understand that, but I don't think, and I know because of the polls that you just were quoting now, a lot of voters aren't taking it the same way. They're taking it out of context. So I guess, where is the solution? How do you fix that? Or how do you make other voters aware of what he's actually saying? Because not all voters are listening to Air America or other political talk shows, unbiased shows.
Well, that's Jenny, that's an understatement. We are outnumbered 9-1 on the radio dial. So there are 9 conservatives for every one of me, and they're pounding the lipstick thing. They're ridiculing Obama. They're not telling the truth. They're not even seeking the truth. They simply take the smear and the spin and, hit the whip button on their blender and just sit back and enjoy it. And because of their dominance in the corporate media, this smear will work. This smear is going to have the desired effect that the Republicans, they looked at this and said, here's our opening. Who cares what he really said?
Right. And I know because I registered to Yahoo, and Yahoo News has a lot of the AP news. And they come back on the defense with Barack Obama and his statements. But I don't think a lot of people are paying attention to that. And just on a side note, I was watching CNN last night, and Anderson Cooper made a very interesting comment. He was speaking with someone else, and they were talking about, Sarah Palin. And he said in a very frustrating tone, he said, it's like every time we're questioning her background, we get emails saying we're attacking her.
Yeah.
And it goes on the same note. It's like, why can't we just all get the whole, truth and everything in perspective and us decide, by ourselves? But
because the Republicans have greater access to the corporate media, and they will continue to set the agenda around distractions and smears, because they don't win if this election is about the issues. They need to make it about distractions and personalities and red herrings, and they are determined to do that. I don't even know if red herring is a lipstick color, but I'll have to check at the cosmetic counter. Jenny, thank you for your call. More calls coming up next. The Free Speech Zone is here for you at 888-5-PETER-B.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Tired of living with pain, depression, or anxiety? Optimal Health Acupuncture at 132 Carmelito Avenue in Monterey is your ticket to a fresh, rejuvenated lifestyle. Licensed acupuncturist Glenn Sadowski will give you your life back. Just listen to the actual words of one of Glenn's patients.
For over 7 months, Glenn Sadowski has been treating me for asthma diagnosed in 2001 after years of steroidal treatments and many other medications which caused me to gain over 50 pounds. I wanted my life and health back. A close friend told me of Glenn Sadowski's successful treatment for asthma patients. Since January, I have experienced a remarkably positive change in my life due to Glenn's holistic healthcare approach, which includes acupuncture, herbal supplements, as well as dietary and exercise changes. I have jettisoned virtually all of my meds, as well as the unwanted 50 pounds. Glenn Sadowski and Optimal Health have given me back my life.
I'm Glenn Sadowski, and I can help you reclaim your life, too. Call me at 831-655-3208 or on the web at optimalhealthmonterey.com. What are you waiting for?
Fritti di Mar Grill in Marina is a delicious haven for lovers of Italian seafood, pasta, and salads at neighborly prices. Owners Tito and Sonia Perez invite you to their new restaurant, Fritti di Mar Grill, for lunch or dinner weekdays and on Saturdays from 4 p.m. Every tasty meal comes with generous portions of Salvadoran warmth. Fritti di Mar Grill is at 3056 Del Monte Boulevard in friendly Marina. Browse to FrittiDiMarGrill.com or call 384-8525.
KRXA is the radio home of Central Coast Sports. Join us this fall as KRXA 540 brings you the high school football game of the week. Follow the race for the championship of the Monterey Bay, Tri-County, and Mission Trail High School Athletic League. Hi, this is Rob Ponce. Join John Berlin and me each weekend as we bring you the play-by-play of the high school football game of the week.
Game one of the season is this Friday at MPC College, 6:30 airtime, as Aptos and the Monterey Toreadors take to the field.
Checking traffic on KRXA. We'll start Chop and Soledad, South 101 at Kempora Gloria Road. Two-car crash that initially had the two left-hand lanes blocked is in the final clearing stages in the center divide. CHP on the scene. Some tow trucks on the way. New accident coming in for Sand City. This is DS Avenue at Holly Street. No details on that. Looks like CHP is on the way. For Santa Cruz Mountain, southbound 17 before Glenwood Drive. It's a two-car, actually three-car fender bender off to the shoulder. CHP's already been on the scene. They're gone, and it looks like those cars are about to move out of the way. Finally, for Salinas, road work 101 both directions between Spence Road and Airport Boulevard. They do have some lanes shut down for installation of a new concrete barrier, and that may cause delays. This is brought to you by FlexYourPower.org. FlexYourPower.org reminds you to save energy, money, and the planet, because the fight against global warming has just begun. If you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 24 minutes into the hour. Lines open for you in the free speed zone. We checked the First Amendment, still in full effect, but subject to expiration or limitation at any moment. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. In about 10 minutes, we're going to meet Allison Weir, and she says that if Americans knew, things would be different in the Middle East. We'll explain why. Coming up about 10 minutes ahead here on the PBC show. Up next in the Free Speech Zone, it's Adrian in Santa Cruz, listening on KRXA. Welcome, Adrian.
Thank you. Hi, Peter.
Hi.
I love your show. I'm calling because when I heard that commercial that you just played, it just sickened my stomach. And I wanted to say that I've gotten to the point that I think that we need to fight back with the same tactics that the Republicans are using. And I never thought I would say that, but I'm really feeling so frustrated right now.
Well, you know, I'm open to that. Because we are seeing Oakland Raider tactics used here.
Right.
Just win, baby. It doesn't matter, you know, if you draw a penalty or anything like that. All we got to do is win and never look back.
Right.
And, you know, the problem is that progressives and Barack Obama in particular just aren't drawn that way. And
right.
when you see him struggling to come up with a coherent criticism. He's dancing through landmines in his own mind, where he's afraid to say the wrong thing or, you know, blurt out something. I mean, we see that this was taken totally out of context. He was talking about John McCain, not Sarah Palin, but that didn't stop the Republicans from creating this phony commercial that is being bought by huge numbers of Republicans and independents. So
it needs to be known that I'm a feminist, and I believe Barack Obama is a feminist. I believe Michelle Obama is a feminist, and I believe that they have a much greater understanding of women's issues than Sarah Palin could ever even attempt to have in her entire life. And I think that that should be something that's out there, that Barack Obama is a feminist.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think that's enough to defuse this one, because many minds have been poisoned by this, and trying to correct it often ends up underscoring the original phony allegation. And I am not above, campaign tactics. I've worked on campaigns, and I don't consider myself to be a purist. But you and I have sensibilities that prevent us from telling outright lies about Sarah Palin and John McCain.
Well, maybe they need to run an ad showing the clips that you just played about John McCain using those same words to talk about Hillary Clinton's health care plan, but just make it very black and white. Like, look, John McCain used the same thing, the same phrase to characterize something about Hillary Clinton. And that's not a lie or a smear. It just is what it is.
And nobody said that he was calling her a pig by doing that.
Right.
Thank you, Adrian.
Right. Thank you.
Appreciate your comment. Robert in Daly City, is this R.C. Miller?
No, it's not. It's Robert from Daly City.
All right, Robert.
I wanted to make a heads up to folks at the Grand Lake Theater tomorrow between 12 p.m. and 11 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
There's a film festival, the fourth annual film, the 9/11 Film Festival, and there's going to be some new material. David Ray Griffin will be speaking there.
Great.
And it's by donation only, and there's lots of parking really within a block, and it's a beautiful venue.
Sure. So, well, I just want our listeners to know that tomorrow, the 7th anniversary of 9/11, Richard Gage will be with us from 9/11 Architects for Truth, and that's in our first hour tomorrow.
Yeah, he's a real light in the 9/11 Truth movement, There's so much factual evidence that shows it was a false flag attack. And I just wanted to say that there's good news and bad news happening today. Part of it is Mukasey, the U.S. Attorney General, he's an Israeli. Chertoff is an Israeli citizen. And these guys are so concerned they've had to put Israelis in top positions in our government to cover their backs.
Okay, well, that's a little off the mark here, but thank you, Robert. I appreciate your call today. We're going to take a break and return. Allison Weir will join us to see what you know, and that if knowing would change your views. That's next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hi, I'm Debbie LaSala from LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli at 250 Casa Verde Way in Monterey. Buy Right has been a family-owned Monterey Bay treasure since 1938. Hungry for delicious sandwiches? Join the many LaSala regulars who love our tasty, hearty sandwiches prepared with fresh-baked Palermo bread. Eat in or grab on the run at LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli. Whatever your choice, we at LaSala's will greet you with Mon Pa hospitality and truly awesome meals. And remember, sandwich trays are also available for meetings and parties. LaSala's By Right Market in Delhi is located on the west side of Highway 1, exiting at 250 Casa Verde Way and going just past the first stop sign. For more information, call 372-6824. That's 372-6824. LaSala's By Right Market in Delhi, a Manpa treasure at your service for 70 years.
Go ahead, take a deep breath. Yep, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system. Your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Want to save money, have fun, and walk a little lighter on the planet? Listen to Tomorrow Matters, talk radio for a better tomorrow, weekdays from 2 to 3 p.m., right here on KRXA 540 AM. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, as we bring in the experts to discuss how to cut energy costs, how to build community, and how to lower our ecological footprints. It's good for our pocketbooks, and it's good for the planet. And we have to, because tomorrow really does matter.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
It's simple for me. I'm opposed to occupation.
Out where the river broke, the bloodwood and the desert oak. Wrecks and violent dissolves, steam and body 5 degrees.
The time has come to say fair's fair, to pay the rent, to pay our share. The time has come.
It belongs to them. Let's give it back. That's a song from Peter Garrett and the Midnight Oil. And the song is about Australia and the Aborigines, but it could apply to other occupations, like ours in Iraq, or Israel's over the fate of the Palestinians in the West Bank and the Gaza Strip. On this program, we've presented views from people who are critical of the Bush administration and who do not fully support the government of Israel, particularly the Zionist elements of that government. And this summer, we followed the progress of the Free Gaza movement as they chartered a couple of boats and challenged the Israeli blockade of Gaza. They were largely successful. Allison Weir joins us now, and she is speaking in the Bay Area. We'll give you the details in a few minutes. And I want to direct you to the website that we'll find out her direct connection to it here in a moment. But it's called ifamericansknew.com. And we'll be referring to some of the information there as we talk. Allison, welcome to our program.
Thanks very much for having me.
Tell me your connection to the peace movement in the Middle East, and in particular, identifying the issues of the occupied Palestine territories.
I'd be glad to. I'm actually from Marin County, although I don't live here now. I was in Sausalito in fall of 2000. At that point, I was the editor of the local Sausalito Marin Scope newspaper.
Oh, okay.
But I just got curious about the Palestinian issue because the uprising began that fall. And it was, of course, in the news, and we saw those images of children throwing stones against tanks. And since I'd never looked into that issue before, I don't happen to be Jewish or Muslim or Arab. Like most Americans, I actually knew very little about it beyond what I saw in the movie Exodus. That's the basis of most of our knowledge,
yeah.
Or lack of knowledge, I should say. When I started to look into it, because of the Internet, I was starting to get daily information about it. I began to read books, etc. After a few months of that, I was so astonished and truthfully outraged at what I was learning and the cover-up across the spectrum of the American media that I quit my job in lovely Sausalito, traveled over to the West Bank and throughout Gaza as a freelance reporter in February and March of 2001 by myself, independently. And I saw firsthand what my tax money and your tax money is paying for. I saw children with bullets in their heads, in their stomachs, in their backs, quite often. I saw whole residential neighborhoods destroyed. And this was not being reported in the media then, and it still is not.
Mm-hmm.
So when I returned, I actually started the organization If Americans Knew,
mm-hmm.
with the goal of we're citizens of really, in today's world, the most powerful nation on earth, and it's our view that we should be accurately and fully informed, especially on topics of importance.
Allison, why don't we know? I mean, I've got my computers right here. I've access to all kinds of data on the Internet. Information is at my fingertips. Why is it that Americans don't know the reality of this gruesome occupation?
Well, because the media across the board so rarely report it. Luckily, as you say, if you do use the computer and go to our website, ifamericansknew.org or .com, both get there, but using the Internet wisely, you can get this information. And on our website, we link to numerous other places with very factual, substantiated information. If you do not do that, and if you don't know the right questions to ask, and you rely on NPR, NBC, CBS, CNN, Fox News, Time Magazine, Newsweek, The New Yorker, you get very little of the overall picture. You don't get the overall context correctly. You don't get the history of it at all, and when you do, it's wrong. And you certainly don't get the day-to-day facts. You don't learn, for example, that a 25-year-old in Nablus was just killed today, shot in the feet and left to bleed to death. That's how he died.
I didn't know that. And I follow the news pretty carefully.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's just this happens frequently. I'm sorry to say that people are killed almost every day. It's certainly every week several people are killed. And we're just not learning those facts. We're not getting the facts on the ground of what's really going on in our media and across the board. You know, I'm talking television, newspapers. There are rare exceptions, but very few of them.
Now, Allison, there's a long history in the Middle East. There is the legacy of the Holocaust that helped create the nation of Israel. And many people kind of access the history on a selective basis. They join the film 20 minutes before the end and ignore the hour and a half that went before. And so people narrowly focus on the Intifada, and they say, well, what would you do if you were Israel? With suicide bombers, blowing up civilians, with people whose value of life is different from those of Israel, and they overlook the nature of an occupation, how it drives people to desperate measures, and how when your life is devalued, because you are essentially incarcerated, there is a sense that you have nothing to lose. by putting your own life on the line and making a statement so that your brother, your mother, or others like you might live differently. And yet the American media plays it only really in the narrow sense of, okay, there was a suicide bomber who came into Israel, civilians died, and it's those evil Palestinians. That's the beginning and end of the story.
Well, what the media do is largely lie through omission. It's not that they very often have an outright misstatement in there, although they do. But it's more often, for example, the way that even just now this was the context you placed it in, which is the typical, you know, listener context perhaps, is so incorrect. You know, the idea, the chronology is backwards. Even in this current uprising, and I like to use that word, intifada, people think it's alien or they think perhaps it's a Muslim concept. It's just Arabic for shaking off. For shaking off of oppression. The American Revolutionary War, if we were speaking it in Arabic, would be called the American Intifada.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it means. It's shaking off or of some sort of oppression. But in terms of suicide bombings, for example, the current round of violence that began in the very end of September, early October in 2000, 82 Palestinian children, young people, some very young, were killed, 82, before there were any suicide bombings in Israel, before a single Israeli child had been killed. Dozens and dozens of Palestinian young people were being killed. In this current round of uprising, over 140 Palestinian men, women, and children were killed before a single Israeli in Israel was killed, before a single suicide bombing. Now, why do we keep saying, well, what can the Israelis do? How will they protect themselves? When the Palestinians died first, and if you use that argument, then clearly what the Palestinians finally did was use violence, some of them, to try to protect their own population.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the suicide bombings are in the headlines so much, and it's a horrible, horrible phenomenon. We certainly should learn about it. But we should learn all the facts about it. A very small portion of the Palestinian population has ever taken part in them.
Mm-hmm.
They started long after the oppression and extreme violence, including torture of Palestinians, had been going on for decades. The first suicide bombing, I think, was 1996 or something, despite the fact that the massive ethnic cleansing, very ruthless ethnic cleansing, of Palestinians began in 47 to 48, was repeated again in 67.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, the first suicide bombing, horrible as it is, didn't come until the mid-90s, after an Israeli-American Jewish immigrant physician had killed 35 people, I believe it was, while they were praying in a mosque. He shot them in the back, injured close to 200 people. So we need the chronology, and if we only get one part of it, sometimes I describe it as a person being attacked by a pack of wolves screaming and shouting. And, if you saw the picture of just a person screaming and shouting, you think, oh, they're insane. And if they're calling on God, you think, oh, it's a religious, fanatic. If you saw a pack of wolves attacking that person, if you saw the whole scene, you'd have a very interpretation of what was going on.
Allison Weir is with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you'd like to talk with her, lines are open at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Again, the website she started is If Americans Knew, KNEW, ifamericansknew.com. And she is speaking Thursday night at University of California. Thursday night, I've got that right, at the University of California at Berkeley's Dwinnell Hall, 7 p.m. And on Friday night in San Anselmo at the First Presbyterian Church, and that's at Kensington Avenue at the corner of Ross, and that's Ross and Kensington in San Anselmo, 7:30 on Friday, 7 p.m. on Thursday at UC Berkeley. Allison, a couple of months ago, Anna Baltzer was here in the Bay Area and appeared on our program. She's written a book called Witness in Palestine. And one of the things, you work around this concept of if Americans knew.
Mm-hmm.
Well, until I read her book and saw her presentation and slideshow, I didn't know the extent to which Palestinians are segregated on the roadways and other access points between either inside the occupied areas of Gaza and the West Bank, or as they attempt to go to work across the border into Israel. And they're actually segregated roads. And the roads the Palestinians are permitted to use are not well maintained and are very dangerous both from a vehicle safety and from a security point of view. And the Israelis get to use these rather nicely built highways, and they get whisked right through the checkpoints where a Palestinian could spend 20 minutes or 20 hours not knowing if he or she could get through to the other side.
That's correct. And in fact, in some cases, women have given birth at these checkpoints and the baby end has died. And in some of the cases, the mother has died as well. These checkpoints are horrific. I just spent 3 months in the West Bank and people are treated like cattle. Everybody, you know, young people, old women, young men, women carrying toddlers and infants are all treated like cattle. And as I put it in a piece that I wrote, but I actually never ended up sending out, was every now and then they thin the herd. You know, it is very ruthless, very brutal. And let's go a little farther. What happens at these checkpoints? Well, some people get to be, you know, are allowed through like cattle. It's very humiliating, very uncomfortable, very despicable behavior, really, to treat other human beings like that. But sometimes it's worse. Sometimes they decide to strip search someone. Quite often they do this, sometimes in public. A 9-year-old girl was told to take off her pants. Women are strip searched, men are strip searched, children are strip searched. This was recently done to an award-winning Palestinian journalist who was trying just to return home in Gaza. He had received the Martha Gellhorn Award for Journalism in London. When he returned, he was taken by Israeli border guards, brutalized, taunted, strip-searched, etc., over a number of hours. Mm-hmm. And again, the American media barely covered this. The Associated Press, the oldest and largest wire service in the world and the primary source of news about foreign news in this country, didn't report this for 2 weeks till I kept phoning them about it, and they finally put out a story that contained a number of inaccuracies, but at least they did a story on it.
Allison Weir is my guest. Lines are open if you'd like to talk with her at 888-5-PETER-B. It's 888-573-8372. We'll talk more about the occupied Palestinian territories and what to do about it. Coming up next on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Checking traffic for the final time this evening on KRXA, starting in Greenfield. Just a heads up, North 101 before Thorn Road, a piece of metal, that's in the second lane from the left. Willowbrook Lane at Cabrillo College Drive in Soquel, vehicle into a parked car, that is blocking some lanes. CHP is on the scene sorting things out. Sand City, Dias Avenue at Holly Street, an accident reported, but no details. CHP on the scene taking a report. For Salinas 101, both directions between Spence Road and Airport Boulevard, some road construction, they're putting in a new concrete barrier. That may cause delays. And also just a heads up, South 101 before San Miguel Canyon Road, looks like a German Shepherd running around the right hand shoulder. This is brought to you by Carfax Vehicle History Reports. Do you know what happens to a car on fire? That heat destroys electrical and safety systems. Find out about fire damage. Ask your used car dealer for a free Carfax Vehicle History Report or go to carfax.com. As always, if you spot a traffic problem when you're out and about, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
At Homescapes Carmel, it's important to us that we appeal to both the senses and the sensibilities of our customers. I'm Thompson Lang, and my brother Bo and I invite you to explore, touch, and discover all the unique items we have at Homescapes in downtown Carmel. For importers like us, nothing beats finding eclectic and worldly things in their native lands and then bringing them home to Carmel by the sea. Homescapes Carmel is on the corner of 7th and Dolores, and as soon as you walk through the doors, you'll share in the thrill of discovery. We have a wide range of furnishings and accessories that exemplify wabi-sabi, celebrating the beauty, functionality, and morality of living green. At Homescapes Carmel, we're dedicated to our customers, to our employees, and to our community. We look forward to working with you to make your home the perfect blend of comfort, beauty, and individuality. Please stop by Homescapes Carmel on 7th and Dolores. We are open 7 days a week from 10 to 6. You can call us at 831-624-6499 or check us out at homescapescarmel.com.
Tom Hartman.
We have an economy in the United States right now that is being held together by spit and glue and rubber bands.
It's a Tom Hartman program.
And basically the glue and the rubber bands, the spit arguably is just hype that everything's going to be okay. And the glue and the rubber bands are debt. We have a debt-based economy and war. The manufacturing of weapons of mass destruction, weapons of death.
Tom Hartman, live every morning 9 to noon on KRXA 540.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, 9 before the hour. That's Elvis Costello. He's got a new show on the Sundance Channel coming up, launching in the next few weeks. Got to check it out. Should be interesting. And that's What's So Funny About Peace, Love, and Understanding. We're applying that to the situation in the Middle East. Allison Weir is my guest here in the studio. We'll run down for you her speaking engagements tomorrow and Friday, again, before the end of this segment. And Allison, at the website, ifamericansknew.org or .com, you can get there either way. You have a number of very powerful and simple USA Today-style graphs that really set up the contrast that, again, many Americans don't realize and the media doesn't tell us. But, for example, your top graph here is it shows that while 123 Israeli children have been killed since 2000, over 1,000 Palestinian child have been killed by Israelis in the same period of time. When we talk about adults, 1,057 Israelis and at least 4,862 Palestinians have been killed since this time in the year 2000. When we look at injuries, it falls disproportionately on Palestinians, 32,000 Palestinians injured, 8,300 Israelis. And just one more here, and that is the number of political prisoners and detainees, because I think that's a very important issue. There is one Israeli being held prisoner by Palestinians right now, and just under 11,000 Palestinians. Now, there's a swap that was underway at the end of August. Did that go through?
I think it went through. I think about 200 of those, about 11,000, were released, and they made a big deal about it, but rarely did they tell, oh, there are 11,000 altogether.
Yeah.
Moreover, the ones that are released, periodically there are these swaps, and the media always ignore the fact that the ones that are released are the ones that were about to be released, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And often, while they're being released, the same number, or sometimes even more, have been detained by, have been incarcerated by Israel during that same period.
Now, what about the Hamas members of the legislature in the occupied territories? They were rounded up at one point, and many were incarcerated. Have they been released?
Many of them are still incarcerated.
Really?
That's the case. And also, a number of people incarcerated, I don't know the numbers, are American citizens. And they have been, like almost all prisoners, are physically brutalized in Israeli prisons. It's really, the accurate term quite often is torture, according to official definitions of torture. There was an article in Foreign Service Journal just a few years ago about documenting American citizens who had been in Israeli prisons and had been tortured grotesquely. Now, to me, this sounds like a fairly important article by our ally in Foreign Service Journal. Why did no other media pick that up? Foreign Service Journal, in fact, did not even put the article, although it was in their print publication. They did not put it on their website because, as the editor told me, he didn't want the harassment they would get for giving those facts out.
Put your headphones on. Let's talk to Roy in Carmel by the Sea, listening on KRXA. Hello, Roy. You're on the air.
Yes, I think that's one of the problems with getting the information out, is there's such a sensitivity to the anti-Semitic or Jewish prejudice that people are afraid to speak out. Wasn't there somebody that wrote a book about that?
There's a title, too.
Well, it's Mearsheimer and... I can't think of the other professor's name from the University of Chicago.
No, I think it was called Dare to Speak Out.
Yes.
I think it came from...
Long before, Mearsheimer and Walt have an excellent book.
Mm-hmm.
But long before their book was a book called They Dare to Speak Out by Paul Findlay.
Mm-hmm.
It's an excellent book. It's still, I believe, in print. It was reissued just 2 or 3 years ago. And Paul Findlay is a wonderful gentleman. He's still alive and... he was a Republican congressman from Heartland, Illinois, with very strong, he calls himself a Lincoln Republican, and the book is really a must-read.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead, Roy.
Yeah, well, I was concerned that the information is squashed, it appears, and I'm sure 99% of the Americans have no idea how much of their tax money they give to Israel to build the wall and the new housing projects for the Russian Jewish people and all that.
Well,
I think
we also resupplied Israel with cluster bombs in the middle of the war with Lebanon.
If the public wants to do that, that's their business. But to keep it quiet from them, I think that's not fair.
I think that's just one of the points you just raised is such an important one. I want to make sure to get it in. Is that American taxpayers are giving Israel over $7 million per day. We give Israel, in its existence, we have given the state of Israel, which is the size of New Jersey, more of our tax money than any other nation on earth, more than to all of sub-Saharan Africa, for example, put together. Massive amounts of money to Israel. It's our tax money. We work hard for it. We certainly have a lot of needs here at home, a lot of seniors needing help that are not getting money. So I think Americans should have the facts about Israel-Palestine and about our own money. We should know how much goes there and how it's used.
The money is delivered quietly in earmarks that literally no one gets to discuss.
Well, you know, McCain will fix that. Roy, I'm out of time. Thank you very much. Allison, just about 30 seconds. What would you like to leave my listeners with?
This is an urgent issue. This is really affecting all of us, and it's time for, many people perhaps are the way I was 8 years ago, which is just very busy. There are a lot of important issues in our lives and in the world, and a lot of us have been, I at least speaking for myself, very neglectful in terms of learning the facts on Israel-Palestine and doing something about it.
All right. IfAmericansKnew.org is the website. Allison Weir speaking at UC Berkeley's Dwinnell Hall Thursday night at 7, and at the First Presbyterian Church in San Anselmo in Marin on Friday night at 7:30. Allison, thanks for what you're doing.
Thank you very much.
Nice to meet you. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. With your indulgence, we'll do it again tomorrow, right here.
Keep smiling until then.
Bonjour, this is Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy 2 bottles, you get 1 bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine. You can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I've made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Château Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/Peter B. That's ecowine.com/Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Oil and water don't mix, but at one government agency, it seems, oil and alcohol did, as employees partied hardy with people in the industry. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss has details of today's report from the Interior Department's Inspector General.
The report is like a steamy dime store novel, but its allegations involve administration officials whose job it is to collect royalties from big oil companies drilling on federal land. It charges they took trips, gifts, and money from the oil companies they oversee, and in some cases took drugs and had sex with their employees.
We always suspected that cozy relationship, but I'd say this goes a little beyond being cozy.
Nick Rahal of West Virginia heads the House Committee that oversees the Interior Department and says the charges just boggle the mind. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Washington.
Hurricane Ike, moving across the warm waters of the Gulf, has strengthened to a Category 2 storm, and Felix Garcia at the National Hurricane Center says it's likely to get worse.
We're expecting Category 3 or even a Category 4.
That would mean winds upward of 130 miles per hour. A hurricane watch is posted for much of the Texas shoreline. In coastal Calhoun County, this man says they're taking it very seriously.
Those of us that are old enough to have experienced Carla and Alicia and really kind of know what is possible with a hurricane of the magnitude of this one, you can't help but be nervous.
Mandatory evacuations have been ordered in four counties south and east of Houston and for the west end of Galveston Island. But Mayor Lydia Ann Thomas would prefer that residents remain.
Right now, we feel that sheltering in place is the best option for our citizens to take.
Landfall is expected early Saturday, somewhere between Corpus Christi and Houston. Two earthquakes across the Pacific.
We have a magnitude 6.6 earthquake in the area of Halmahera, Indonesia.
And Rafael Abreu at the U.S. Geological Survey says there's been a magnitude 7.2 quake off Japan's northern island of Hokkaido. In both cases, tsunami warnings were issued. The Indonesia warning has since been rescinded. Abreu says the Indonesia quake was way below ground.
It's a significant earthquake, yeah, definitely strong. However, given the depth of the earthquake, number one, we don't really expect...